Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. Thank you for being with us. This is Randy Chandler, and I'm glad you're here tonight. It is Monday night, and what a great week we have ahead of us. Wow, I have some really interesting news. I'll be giving it sometime this week, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. I'm not sure exactly when, but I'll tell you a little bit more about it here in a moment. It's a big, big subject as far as in the political arena. And a major situation going on. It's amazing. It's just amazing. God just is so excited. I will share that sometime. I'll let you know about kind of what it's about here sometime tonight. And maybe we'll talk about it now, maybe tomorrow. I'm waiting for a release on it. But it's very strategic, very right on right now, politically speaking. And I think you're going to be not surprised, but maybe very surprised. I don't know. We'll see. All right, it's going to be interesting. Here in a little bit, hope everybody's doing good tonight. We are here to minister to you personally and pray for you and believe God with you for some type of encouragement, some type of something to build you up a little bit. It's Thanksgiving week. Wow, it kind of snuck up on me. That's for sure, but I'm ready, I think. We'll see. It just kind of depends on what you mean by being ready, right? Yeah. All right, so we are trying to be ready for everything. That's what I want to talk about, at least overall, is being ready for everything and anything, and whatever God tells us to be ready for, that's what we're going to be ready for. And, yeah. So welcome to the place where we do that. We're here to prepare people, we're here to help you find the way that God has for you, not just the same old thing everybody else has, but through the Word of God, of course, but opening up our eyes to the Word, what the Word's really saying, and opening up our eyes to what it's saying to you personally, to you specifically. That's extremely important. Most people don't get that. It takes a while to kind of grab hold of that, but it's so true that it's the word that it's the truth that sets you free, right? It's the truth that you know, as people have said before. It's the truth that you know. And if you don't know it, it's because God didn't show it. And if you don't know it and he didn't show it, and you're trying to go with it, it just don't go. It just turns into a religious thing, right? You go with the truth. The truth that you know sets you free. And believe me, if God's not trying to show you a truth about something, if it's not the truth concerning you, it may be the truth in the Bible, but it might not be the truth for you. Yeah. In other words, the truth may be that you need healing, not necessarily deliverance, or you may need deliverance, not necessarily healing, or you may need a word from God. You may need, you know, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You may need to really get saved, to get really, really saved, right? Yeah. So you never know what the real thing is, and that's why we need God to speak to us and God to tell us what's going on so that we can get the word that is for us, spoken out of the mouth of God for you. It's the truth that you know, right? Not the truth that everybody else knows. It's the truth that you know that sets you free. So whatever truth that is a truth. Like the Bible is full of truth, but not every truth is for you in your particular situation. Every truth is for you, but not every truth is for your particular situation. You have to find out which one it is, what it is, and believe God. It's a little bit more than most people think. Yeah. So, yeah, and yet it's really simple. We have to depend on God for everything. It truly is truly, truly amazing. All right. Okay, we're going to get into had a dream vision, panoramic dream vision last Thursday. I haven't talked about it yet. I've been waiting, sitting on it, you know, asking God to show me, you know, more about it. And, you know, I think I understand most of it, but there may be a lot left to understand. So I will share that and start to break that bread with you here in the next night or so. And it's just kind of what's in the news right now. It's what's going on right now. It's what's going on politically. It's what the next move is of the Republicans, the whole thing. And now that, you know, the midterms are over with, and some of you are into that, some of you are not, but those of you who are in the midterms, the Democrats kept the Senate, right? Control of the Senate, and the Republicans barely got control of the of Congress. So it's kind of a different situation. We'll kind of see as we go, but you know, if that's not important to you, it will be in the future, because when you start realizing that your money, some things that belong to you don't come to you because of government rules, right? Some of the things that are yours get taken away from you or get held back from you because of government making rules. And you find out that you have power over some of that, at least to vote and to be a part of it. You get a little bit more interested when you realize that your freedoms have been taken away from you, and it's because you didn't vote and you didn't believe God to do something about it, right? Yeah. And so, yeah, something along those lines. Tonight we're going to talk about some of this, hopefully. But we'll see what goes on. I still haven't decided yet what I'm going to share with you tonight. All right. So give me just a little bit here. Okay. What am I doing here? All right. I wonder I'm in the wrong place. I have a lot more information to share with you about the crown, the three-pointed crown. I've got a lot more information on that I want to share with you guys pretty soon. It's very important. It's just kind of, it's amazing how all that information, just that one word about the stock market that we gave about it hovering at 33, most of the fucking market was going to go down, way down, and the stock market, that is. And so, you know, we give words about that because God speaks to me. If God didn't speak to me, I'd be like anybody else. I'd be saying, oh, it's going down, right? I'd be doing whatever everybody else is doing. But in all truth, when God speaks to you and you know what's going to go on, then that's why I declare it publicly. If God allows me to declare it publicly, I can't declare everything publicly, but I did declare back in May or June that that the market was going to go, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was going to go up to 33,000, which it didn't look like it was at the time. It wasn't going anywhere near it. And by the grace of God, it did it. And, you know, less than, you know, a few weeks later, May the 27th, I gave that word on May the 12th, and then May the 27th, and it hovered, just like we said, the word we gave was going to hover. I didn't know how far along. I didn't know what that meant exactly, except I said it's going to hover. It's going to hover at 33. Right. Yeah. And hover means it's in the book of Genesis. And we're going to talk about some of that, because there's something that one particular thing, that one particular word and all that went along with it. Oh, my gosh. Wait till y'all see what we're going to unveil, some of this stuff, hopefully this week. And plus a fresh panoramic dream I just had, a political dream that may surprise some of you. It may not surprise some of you. But it shocked me, honestly, that God showed it to me. I mean, I was just, I'm in total, you know, I'm in shock about it. So we're going to be able to tell you what's going to happen in some things here in the near future. And it's just going to be right up in the news. If you watch the news at all, some of you don't even watch the news, I guess, which is fine. But those of you who do watch any political stuff, any that you're going to see that this word we're giving, of course, just like all the words we've given in the last couple of years, have been in the news for every day, you know, every day for many years now. And so it's just mind-boggling for me. I'm just like, people say, you shouldn't be watching TV on the news. Like, you know what? When you give words and they come to pass on TV, you watch TV. And trust me, you do. And you don't have, other people don't have to, of course, but I do for those reasons. And yeah, so when what you, the words you give come to pass on the news, you watch the news. Yeah, I don't care anybody says you watch the news. And you watch the market. Right? You give news about the market, you watch the market. That's what you do. If you don't get news about any, if you don't get words about anything, you probably don't watch anything, right? Yeah, so that's okay too. But that's what we do. That's what I do, at least. So anyway, there you go. All right. Yeah. Let's go here. Man, I have so much I want to talk about. Oh, let's go ahead and go right here for a moment. It's something I kind of got tonight. I don't know where I put that at. All right, give me a second here. I don't really have to find it, but I like to read my stuff sometimes. Yeah, Acts 20. Where did I put that at? Where did I put you? It's in Revies. It is in Revies. All right, y'all give me a second. I'm talking to myself here, figuring this out. Okay. All right, I got it on my phone. It's not showing up on my computer. All right, let's go here. I want to talk about this just for a moment, just to kind of help you guys understand some of the things we got to do when you're called to minister the gospel. You know, something God makes me aware of more off and on, not more frequently, I think, than usual. But here's a scripture that I got today, and it is like really, it's very interesting. About how Paul the Apostle was talking about in Acts chapter 20, I believe. I'm trying to find it here. Acts 20, verse 26, therefore I testify, this is Paul the Apostle talking, testify to you this day that I am clean from the blood of all men. And what he's talking about being clean from the blood of all men is that he shared the full gospel of Jesus Christ. He shared the full gospel. In other words, he shared everything God gave him. And so when you start understanding what it's like to know what that's like to be called of God, and the blood of people's, the blood of the sheep is on your hands, and that you want to be clear of it. In other words, you want to make sure that you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and not just sharing something. You want to be sharing the gospel of Christ, right? And so it's really, really important. And when you start seeing how important that it is, you realize what a responsibility that you have before God. To make sure that you have clean hands. In other words, you're not just sharing things to make money or get people's approval, but you truly are, as a responsible shepherd, you are responsible to make sure that you're getting the message to the people that God wants them to have instead of your own message, right? So we really I really have gotten a hold of that very strongly lately. And I get it more and more all the time, how that God has called me to, you know, share things. And I'm not really a teacher, but as a prophet, I have a responsibility to share things with you guys that, and because your blood is on my hands if I don't, right? So that's the reason that I want to make sure I'm sharing the gospel with you clearly, because, you know, just like Paul the Apostle talks about in chapter 20, where I see that at, chapter 20, verse 26. I want to read that just a little bit here, because I want to let you know why sometimes I get really passionate about sharing the word, that I'm not just up here. I'm called of God. And those who preach and teach the word are going to be held more accountable than those who don't. Right? If you're just out there yakking, talking, and having fun and sharing a little testimony, you know, a little scripture here and there. But when you're a teacher, or a five-fold ministry person, you're a shepherd of some sort, you're a shepherd apostle, a shepherd prophet, a shepherd pastor, a shepherd teacher, a shepherd evangelist, whatever the shepherd calling that you have in your life, the blood, people's blood is on your hands, friend. It's on your hands. Now, if you don't have a calling, if you're just sharing and preaching and having fun, it's a whole different thing. But when you're called of God, and Paul the Apostle talks about this in Acts 20, verse 26, where he talks here and he says, I want you to look at verse 25. And indeed now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, and not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So you see that Paul the Apostle felt the responsibility. He wasn't just, you know, preaching a message and going on and, you know, doing his life. He lived because the calling of God on his life, he lived to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and not just to teach it, just to have teachings, but he taught it to guide people, to show people, you know, the truth about what's going on, to show people, you know, how to live and what to believe and what not to believe and what to watch out for and what not to watch out for. I mean, Paul warned them of everything. And so, you know, I kind of feel it myself, and I'm learning more about that. That he said he did it, verse 31, he says, therefore watch and remember, for these 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourself know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said it is more blessed to give than receive. And so what Paul is talking about here is that he warned, he said, therefore watch and remember, that these 3 years I did not cease to warn you everyone night and day with tears. So it's not just all happy-go-lucky teaching and preaching. People say, why don't more preachers have more of a positive message? Well, maybe they should, right, have more of a positive message. But at the same time, when you realize that you have a responsibility to warn people of things, you know, when you're in the ministry and you're called to the ministry, you see things a little bit differently than sheep do. Sheep, even mature sheep, even mature intercessors and prayer warriors and people who love God and been walking with God for a long time. As a shepherd, you have eyes to see things that non-shepherds don't have eyes to see, because God gives you a special, therefore you're held more accountable for that. And so, friend, you know, I want to tell you tonight that sometimes when you feel a passion in my voice about doctrines and about things, that open up the door to fear for people when they believe wrong, because the things I believe wrong open me up to fear, open me up to being compromised out and didn't even know it. Couldn't figure out what was wrong with, what was wrong, and found out that, the doctrine you believe is extremely important, to your, to opening up the doors or closing the doors to God and to the enemy. And so that's why Paul, knew that his job was important, and that he says that, I'm telling you, I'm clean from, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare the whole gospel of God, right? And so you start seeing that when you declare the gospel of God, when you're called, if you're called to just, share, have fun, do music. We have a lot of musicians, out there in the world today that are doing a great job. They're not necessarily shepherds. They're not going to be held accountable like shepherds will be. But those who teach the word of God to instruct people, to show them the way, we have a greater responsibility. And so we have to make sure that we're hearing from God and know that we're innocent of the blood of all men, like Paul the Apostle was, and that he said he warned. You can see this, that when he taught them, he didn't just teach them all this great, wonderful stuff, how to use their faith, which he did. He did a lot of great, quote, positive things. But he also had to warn them. He said, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, And so we have to warn people about situations and things to watch out for. And people say, well, why do you talk about that stuff like that? Because when I talk about people that are leaders among us, that have been leaders among us, including Marcus Lamb and others, because I knew Marcus personally, very little, but just a little bit. And he was a part of my calling. He helped me with some things. They're really great. But, also I had to warn people. I had to warn other ministers that there's some things that you don't partake of, that you don't do. And so you hear that passion in ministers' voices sometimes when they're sharing with you. And I'm sharing with you and warning you. I'm not warning you because I want to, put the fear on you. I'm warning you to put the fear of God on you. I want you to walk in the fear and reverence of God, knowing that what you believe will change your life, will make you or break you. And when you realize that people's blood is upon your hands, then friend, you're a little bit more careful that you share the whole gospel, that you share everything, and that we represent Christ in every area, that we don't leave out anything. So many people leave out parts of the Bible. They don't want to talk about, King David's failures, and, because we shouldn't talk bad about the men of God. At the same time, it's all there. Everything's in the Word. It wasn't left out of the Word. So we can warn people. We can tell them, listen, this can happen to you and me. This can happen to us. Right? And yet God can still, you can still have a heart after God. You can still have a heart after God and mess up in your life. It's not that you can't mess up. It's that, that messing up, look what it did with David. It opened up the door for David's house to be, his whole household to be, to be under judgment for a long time. Yeah, his whole house even rose up against him, because of the sin that he committed and the way he committed it. And so, and yet he had a heart after God. So, but the thing is, he could have been saved all that problem if a prophet, I wish the prophet would have known he was had that thing going on with Bathsheba before it really got going on. I wish to God he could have went in there and warned David before that, saying, David, I see a different look in your eye. You need to be careful what you're doing, because it cost David so much. And friend, my job is to warn you and to help you, to bless you, to help put the fear of God in you in certain things, so that you won't fall short, that you'll have something to be thankful for, that someone, I love you enough to warn you and tell you, make sure you understand that what you're doing is from the Word of God, right? Paul the Apostle said, when he said, I spew the truth, he was saying, I gave you what the Word of God says about things, not just what I think, not what, you can just do whatever you want to with your stuff. He warned them. He said, listen, this you do this with your, in the money realm, this with your tithe, this with your offerings. You can do whatever you want with your offerings, but do it unto the Lord. It's when you do your good deeds, do them before God, not before men. And he did these things, friends, so that people could learn how to live righteous and be blessed, and be really, really blessed. So this is what I want to do. I want to warn people and tell them, you know, be careful for the things that I've made mistakes on, and the people in the Bible made mistakes on, and the people that we have leaders that have made mistakes. They should be openly telling their mistakes and how they got tripped up, because we hear the beginning of their life, and then we see where they messed up, but we don't hear how they messed up. They don't talk about it. They don't want to talk about that part. That's the part that's important, and that's why it's in the Bible, how David messed up. He went through the process of how he compromised and how he started lying to himself. And then pretty soon, he was in it so deep, he couldn't get out. The whole process. It wasn't just, oh, I sinned, and then everybody knows you got busted. You know, you got busted, now you have to tell everybody. So now, if we're truly going to be, true repentance is being able to be free enough to tell somebody how you did it, how it worked. Oh, I don't want to talk about the details, but that's not important. Well, you know what, friend? It's in the Bible. The details are in the Bible. You know, some of these situations that are very detailed in the Bible are there for a reason. Just like David's whole life, that God used the greatest example he could use. He used somebody who really had a heart for God, really messed up bad, murdered, killed, committed adultery, got it right with God, and then God said he had a heart after him. What greater thing can you do for someone who really messed up? But what we need to do is not look at that and go, well, I guess I can really mess up. You know, what's the big deal? I can get around with God and have a heart after God. But look at all the trouble it brought on David. Friend, this is why I want to be clean of my hands. I want to give you details about things. I think that, you know, I just use Marcus Lamb as an example because of, you know, the things that have gone on. But, you know, he sinned publicly. He opened up and talked about it, but he didn't talk about the process. We never heard about how he slipped into that, what went on. You know what? Because people want to just ignore all that part, even though the Bible talks about the details of how David fell into his sin and how it all began to happen. It's all right there, details. Oh, we don't need to talk about that. That's not important. All the important thing is, yeah, I sinned, and I spent 6 months in sin, a year in sin, 3 years in sin, but I got it right with God. Well, how did it happen to you? Warn us. Help us to warn others. That's what Paul did. He never forgot what manner of man that he was. And he shared with people from his failures, from his mistakes, from his weaknesses. He shared with them and told them, friend, this is important. We're missing the goodies, not the juicy details. It's not about juicy details. It's about details like what happened with David. It shows how he started looking and lusting. And then it was, and why he was there, why he was in that position. And it talks about all that, friend, how he went from one step to the other step to this in detail. In details. Why is that in there? To shame David? No. To show you and I the process that, and when we fail and mess up and sin, we don't forget what manner of man we were. We don't forget some of those details. This is how I slipped into this. Not just, oh, I messed up, and then 10 years later you say, okay, I got it right now. And then nobody ever learns the process of how you fell into it. So we won't fall into it. So I won't fall into it. Right? And that's what leaders do. That's what most leaders do. I don't know any leaders very personally that, you know, especially that situation, Marcus, that was so open and brought into the open Jimmy Swagger situation. They never talked about all that stuff. As far as I know, it never was. He should have been writing a book about the details of how he fell into that stuff. You know what? As far as I know, it may be out there somewhere, but I haven't seen it. Why do we want to do things different than what the Bible does, friend? We go back to my responsibility. Your blood is on my hands. I have a job to tell you the details, to warn you about them, to say this can happen to you. You can fall into this easily. And I want your blood to be cleansed from. I want to be innocent of the blood of all men. Right? How do you know that? Because you do things according to the Word of God. Not, oh, well, you know, I don't think we should talk about those things. You know, if I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about leaders. Leaders who publicly sin, who publicly mess up, who are in the public eye. You know, and then everybody wants to know. Well, you know, some people will just like the juicy, call it juicy details. But we don't call it juicy details around here. We call it the Word of God. And God wants to talk, wants us to talk about this stuff, friend, because that stuff is the stuff that people are getting deceived by the enemy, and little by little, the wiles of the devil, the W-I-L-E-S, the wiles of Satan, are deceiving them, and they're falling into things over and over and over again, and they can't figure out why. That's what we're here for. That's why we talk about this stuff, and a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people don't like the Word of God. All they want is, you know, oh yeah, I'm talking about leaders. I'm talking about Christian leaders. Oh yeah, I fell into sin, and then now I got it right. So just forgive me. You know, like, okay, well then, what can we learn from that? If they truly repent, they will tell us. They will write a book about the details, not the. The enjoyment of that sin, but how the temptation process works, so that you and I can go, man, you know, wow, that's really, really tricky how the enemy just used this and used that and brought all these little things out. And when you start exposing the devil, friend, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to expose the devil, not just kind of cover everything up and, well, what difference does it make? Jesus just forgave me. Yeah, he did. It's wonderful. Thank God. But how did you fall into it? Not. What are the details of the thought process that you went into? What did you start opening yourself up to that caused you to eventually fall and shame yourself and your family and bring God's judgment down on you and your ministry and never return back to the favor of God? That's what happened to David. David never got the favor he had again. And that's why the Bible talks about the details of that, the process that he went through and all the things that he did. To tell people you don't want to go there, to tell leaders you do not want to go here. When you start finding yourself doing this, that, and the other, catch yourself. Watch yourself. Don't just say, oh, I can do whatever I want to. Do things according to the Word of God. Amen? So that's what I want. When I listen to that in my walk tonight, I would listen to the Word of God, right? Listening to the book of Acts right now. Wow, the book of Acts is amazing, y'all. It is amazing. We're going to get into the book of Acts. I may just start at Acts chapter 1 and go all the way through the whole thing. I mean, I'm thinking about it because it's so amazing, because we're going to enter into this whole thing, this whole phase, this whole season. It's going to be about the book of Acts. And so, anyway, I'm very excited about that. But so pray for me, right? Pray for me that I will learn how to totally keep my hands free of any blood from anybody, that I share from the Word of God the way the Word of God says to do it, not some made-up something that somebody decided, oh, well, yeah, I'm not going to share that because, you know, I don't really think God wants me to do that. Yet it's all over the Bible that other people did it and did it for a reason. Why would the Bible talk about some certain sin process in detail if it wasn't important? Then the men of God today or women of God don't do that. Well, you know, I don't want to shame myself anymore. We don't care about the fun you had when you were sinning. We're not talking about that part of it. We're talking about what was the process that got you there that made you think it was going to be fun. And you were shaming yourself and destroying your life, and yet you don't share the details of the process, how you fell. To me, that is ridiculous. It's sad. How are we going to be warned? Well, just go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. Then you should be, if you're a leader, you should do things according to the Bible. Right? And that's my beef that I have with some of these situations, that people have hidden their stuff. They just went on like, oh, no big deal. And the leaders continue to fall in sin. Well, I'm not going to help you because, you know, I'm not going to shame myself. Open up and talk about it. I think it's wrong. I really think it's wrong. And I think that we got all these people in big places, and they're not accountable to anybody but themselves. And I think God wants to, you know, watch over us a little bit better and, you know, learn from the Word of God how to handle things. You know, when I started teaching on Paul handed a young man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh and for the saving of his soul, I had some of our blog talk friends text me and said, now watch it. Don't go there. I'm going like, don't go where? What are you talking about? Yeah, no, don't go there. People don't want to go where the Word of God wants to go. It is difficult sometimes. It is difficult. Amen. It's going to save. It's going to save you. If somebody could have saved David from going there, if the prophet could have been here from God before that happened, maybe he did. Maybe David didn't. It doesn't show anywhere in the Bible that he did. But just think of the process of hell and the judgment that came on David's family. If it would have been stopped beforehand, if it at least stopped him before he had him murdered, had her husband murdered. Right? Could you imagine that? If they'd have stopped that, the judgment of God wouldn't have been so rough on him. Because each level of sin you go into, that the sword, the prophet said the sword's going to be on your house. And it's never going to go away the rest of your life. Friend, that's not a good thing. You don't want that. You want to stop yourself before you get there. And then these days, people, you know, because we don't deal with things properly, people try to hide their sins. They hide them. They don't want anybody to know. Because the leadership hides theirs, they're hiding theirs too. But what does it do? It produces a bunch of people who do the same things over and over again, and the cycles of sin just keep on going on, from the leadership to the sheep. People wonder why the sheep are so messed up. Well, I don't know. Maybe we should just look at the leadership. What are they doing? They act all cool and got it all together, right? But what's really going on? I mean, what's really going on? Right? The shepherds blame the sheep, when many times it's the shepherds that need to be held accountable. Right? When the Bible talks about judge first the church or the kingdom of God, God judges the kingdom, the church first. Yeah, judgment starts at the house of God. You know, when judgment starts at the house of God, friend, that's not the sheep. No, that's the shepherds. It's the shepherds. Yeah, and then when the shepherds get busted for doing their thing years and years and years, if they do it for years and years and years, then the judgment of God, the sword that comes on them is really sad, really, really is sad. All right. Right. Okay. All right. So thank you for that. I want to talk a little bit. I just want to talk about that tomorrow night. I want to talk tomorrow night about, I guess maybe tomorrow night. You want to talk about that tomorrow night? I had a dream vision about a political situation that it's going to be hot in the news the next couple of years. And God already showed me the result of it. He's already shown me the result of it. Already showed it to me last Thursday, early Thursday morning, about early Thursday morning of last week, on the 17th of November, God gave me a panoramic dream vision of a political situation, and show me basically when you understand it, when I give it out, when God gives me the freedom to give it out, and maybe tomorrow night, but I tell you, this whole thing that God's having me talk about tonight, and I'm talking about this stuff because God puts it on my heart, right? I'm not just telling you these things just to talk about something. You know, I feel like God is leading me. I feel like God is showing me things, and He's wanting me to break down why we talk about the things that we talk about. That some people get actually right here on PGN, people right here on PGN get mad at me for talking about. Oh, you shouldn't be talking about the, like, what are you doing? You keep talking about merchandising. Just another thing, another issue. People talk, why do you keep talking about merchandising for? Nobody's going to do anything about it. Like, that's why, you know, we obey God, because nobody's going to talk about it. We quit obeying God because nobody's gonna listen to it. Nobody's gonna change. That's why we do it. Or do we do it because God tells us to do it? Because God's telling us to do it. Why do you keep talking? I mean, I've literally had several people tell me this, you know, about different things. One of them was Marcus and Joni, that whole situation there, and we're all gonna see how that's gonna go down. you know, in the future. Then you're all going to be going like, oh, wow, well, sorry, but now we see. That's what's going to happen, I tell you, I guarantee you. Only God knows this stuff, man. It's amazing. And so so we talk about the shepherds and how to deal with things because people get mad at me. They actually get mad at me. How can you talk about that? Modern-day people who are in leadership who publicly confess their sins, and I'm talking about it, they think that I'm, you know, how dare you shame them? Who's shaming them? They shamed themselves. They brought them to the open. I'm calling them men of God. I'm just saying they made a mistake. They fell. Let's look into how they did it. Let's look into why it's happening to them. And if in the particular case that I talked about with Marcus Lamb, and as well as others are going to be falling and maybe taken out too. I don't know what's going to happen to them exactly. It's not my call. I just say what God's telling me because it's merchandising. It's merchandising. Oh, people want to hear that. No, we don't want to hear that. No, you know what? That's going to be the end time thing that God's going to correct people about. And y'all, and most of y'all will kind of have been kind of with me on it. Some of you have been really with me on it. Others of you guys listening to me right now, you know who you are. You know, I still love you and you still love me. Thank God for that. But you know what good's it going to do to talk about that? What are you talking about Marcus Lamb for? What are you talking about merchandising for? What good is that going to do? What good is it going to do? The whole world's doing it. So that's why we quit. This is how most people want profit. They want profit to tell what they think is going to work, what they think is going to happen. No, you prophesy things that goes against the grain of everything because God's telling you to do it, not because you're in a mood to upset everybody. That's why I didn't want to be a prophet. I'll be honest with you. That's why I didn't like y'all heard me. I resisted being a prophet for years because I didn't want to do that. I want a positive message. I want to have healing ministry. I want to build up people. I want to encourage people. That's my job. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do this other stuff, exposing and blah, blah, blah. Who wants to do that? I didn't, but you know what? God protects the church. When Ananias and Sapphira were killed for lying about their money, we have some people that do that today in the body of Christ. I can name some names that lie about their money, saying, oh, we need money for this. They're lying like a dog. We don't need money for that. I know what's going on, y'all. I know what's happening. And we're going to see it be dealt with. If they don't repent, they can repent. If they don't repent and quit lying about stuff, God's going to smite them. And I mean smite them. Ananias and Sapphira being killed on the spot for lying about money. That was God's mercy. That was God's protection. That was not God being bad and mean. That was God protecting his church. One time, Paul the Apostle blinded somebody. That wasn't being mean. We have a healing ministry. We shouldn't be blinding people. No, that man was deceiving people. He was a false prophet. He was some kind of craft or something. I don't remember what it was, but he was not a good guy. And Paul blinded him. Paul said, "You're blinded. You something or another called him a bunch of bad names." Yeah. When are we going to see that again? Why is it we always want to have everything so positive? That was my message, right? That was what I was about. Why do we have to, everybody wants everything so positive? If it's not positive, it's hard to hear. It is hard to hear. I have a hard time talking about it, and I know people have a hard time hearing it. But you know what? I don't want your blood on my hands. And I know people have spied on me. Believe me, I mean, and they got busted. They don't know that I busted them, but I did. Yeah, I busted them. Yeah, spying on me, following me around. Followed me up to a 7-Eleven store one time. Sat out there in their little blue car. Little cute little hairdo. Sat there in front of me as I walked out of the store. I turned around and saw them. And I already knew who they were. I already knew what was going on. I just went on my business like, whatever. You can do whatever. You can follow me wherever you want to. Yeah, I know people have spied on me. You know what? I busted. I mean, it's literally been busted. Yeah, they never knew it until right now. I just now talked about it for the first time. Yeah, follow me to, I can tell you the date, the time, the name of the person that did it. And the people involved in it. I could do all that. You know, I could have done that a long, long time ago. But you know what? I give people a chance to repent and get right with God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know about all that. I talked to him for the first time for that. I must really be in the mood, right? Yeah. And follow me to the place and spied on me. You know, and it's interesting because when God shows you, you know, just let it go on. Let it happen. Let them do whatever they need to do. Just, you know, you be an open book. God take care of it. God will judge it. You don't have to judge anything. Let God take care of that business. I could tell you story after story. I'd give you the names of the people and what kind of car they drive. A nice little new hairdo. One of them just looks like this, got a brand new little hairdo in it. And I could tell you their name. And you'd know who they are. Yeah. It has been interesting, to say the least, over the years. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on and on. But, you know, why do that? You know, let's be positive. Yeah, let's be real positive. So, you know, you just learn how to let God do his thing, man. And people judge you. And then they find out that it's not really what they think. When they find out it's not what they think, then the shame that comes on them and the sword that comes on their life is sad. It's sad. The sword that comes back on them. It's really sad. And so what I want to do is I want to help prevent that from happening to people. That's why I'm tough sometimes. All right. So, I got some major information. I'm trying to let you know about it. So I'll probably talk about it this week sometime, maybe tomorrow night. I may talk about it for tonight. If I don't watch out what I'm doing, I may talk about it tonight. I want to real bad, but I'm waiting for the Lord to give me the approval I'm doing it. But I had a big time political in the news all the time, situation. God showed me the end result of it. And it's going to make some people mad. It's going to make some people sad. It's going to make some people glad. It's may shock some people. It may not shock anybody at all. It's not going to shock everybody, but some of you will be going, oh, yeah, that's kind of what I thought maybe. But, you know, now I know. When God shows me a panoramic vision, dream, some things, last Thursday morning, early in the morning, I got it on the 17th of November. I'm going to talk about it here soon, probably tomorrow night or sometime this week. Because of the season that it's in, I want to go ahead and get it out there and document it so that it is documented, right? Yeah. But it's going to be going on for the next couple of years, so we will get into it here soon. Anyway, okay, good to be with you tonight. Hopefully everybody's doing good. And I want to pray for you and believe God with you tonight. So let's take callers tonight, see what's going on. All right. All right, let's take my first caller tonight. Okay. All right. Okay, I will be with you there in a little bit. All right. I want to go through 325. Whoops, give me a second. All right, so let's take our first call tonight. I'm going to go here to, I think this is Chris from Texas. What's going on with my brother tonight? Hey, man, what's going
on? I'm doing good.
All right, let's pray for you, and then we'll talk. Hang on just a second. We'll pray for you. Hang on a minute. Give me just a second. I'm going to mute you just for a second. Thank you, Lord, for my brother, Chris, tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the avenues of blessing, God, that you opened up for him, Father, because of his obedience and his willingness to suffer, his willingness to make mistakes, his willingness to test you and try you and learn about you and find out your ways, that he's not afraid to fail. He's not afraid to make mistakes. He's not afraid to... God, I thank you, Jesus, that you've given him your reverential awe and your reverential fear to obey your voice and do what you say, God. You're going to make him a success, Father, in your eyes, and you're going to start showing him how to be a success in his own eyes because of the eyes you've given him to see things. What true success is obeying God. It's not about money. It's not about how great a father you are or husband you are or businessman you are. It's about obeying God. And that's what a true success is. And I thank you, Jesus, that for his life, God. I thank you for using him. I thank you for the blessing that he is to your kingdom, Father, in Jesus' name, and that you're opening him up to that prophetic realm, God, to catch the wind of things way before the wind gets, way before the wind brings what the real, you know, when the wind blows something in, and you can feel the wind blowing it in before it comes. And I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of knowing in his life, God, in Jesus' name. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit, amen, to fulfill him and Jesus' name and confirm him as your son, as your child, as your as the brother of Jesus, if you will. Jesus is your shepherd and you are his sheep. You are his son, you are his brother. We are the we are brothers with Jesus, and yet he's our Lord at the same time. Our Savior, and we thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Chris, what's going on, man? What are you doing over there?
Oh, not much, just listening to you.
Yeah. All right, good. So what have you been up to, lady? How's everything? What are you up to? What's going on? How are you?
We're doing good over here. I thought it was interesting a while ago. I was sitting down to watch, you know, some Bible stuff on YouTube, and I asked God, what should I watch? And he said, David. And I was sitting there watching David and Bathsheba, and then he started talking about it 30 minutes later.
Oh.
I thought that was
wow.
Pretty neat. It's like he's getting me ready for your little preaching or something. I mean, your message.
Yeah. Sounds like it, yeah. Well, you know, we talk about David. You know, David is really, you know, the one that everybody talks about. I mean, even the Messiah was, you know, of the seed of David. I mean, how much better can you get than that? Than they said the Messiah is from the seed of David. So, but yet David had a lot of stuff going on, man. I mean, he had some awesome and amazing stuff, and he had some really bad stuff. Man, when the sword came on his family, it was like, you know, it was sad. And yet he still had a heart after God. He's probably one of those most recognized blessing messed up people you've ever met, you know. He just, and yet, you know, his love for God is amazing. Yeah. And I think that we need to learn from his mistakes, you know, and not judge him and learn from him and not do the same things over again. I think that's one of the main things that God didn't, you know, he didn't leave out any details with David. I mean, you look at the details with David. I mean, it talks about, he didn't leave out nothing, man. You know, and there's a reason for all that. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was realizing things just by watching it today that I never really thought about before, and it made me think about the same thing you were saying. I need to learn from what he did and make sure I don't do something kind of like that. You know,
yeah, me too.
It kind of got scary though. After you was preaching on it, and I was like, God, are you trying to tell me something? Is there something I was about to do? I'm really going to think about that.
Well, of course it is. You know, of course it is. And so that's the whole thing. That's why we talk about it so openly. It's not that, you know, because we're human beings. If you look at David's life, man, I mean, he loved God. You know, I mean, his love for God, he slew Goliath. I mean, he came on the scene slaying Goliath, a young boy with a slingshot. I mean, the courage that he had in it. And the whole thing, and then he was a musician and a poet and a, you know, I mean, a lover of God. And his men just followed him and loved him. And yet we see that somebody like that, who's precious and wonderful and amazing and a great, 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 great man of God, you know, he failed. I mean, he failed. So if that means that if he was, you know, us being lesser than David in a sense, you know, can we fail too? Of course we can. It shouldn't even be, you know, I would never do that. You know, I mean, it should be more like, okay, God, you know, just like you did with Peter when Jesus told Peter, you're gonna fail me, Peter. Oh, I will never fail you. That's what most of us do. Most of us don't do it like you just did it. They say, oh, I would never be like David. I would never. That it was the most horrible thing that he ever. I would never be like Peter. I would never deny the Lord. Well, that's what Peter did, and this is what most of us do. I'm talking about all of us.
not some carnal people, but a spiritual. Peter was, he walked on the water, dude. He walked on the water. And then he denied Jesus like he never even knew him. How cowardly was that? And yet you and I can do the same thing because we don't understand what's going on. And we need to be aware of it. So the fear of God kind of hits you on that one, huh, a little bit. That's good.
Yeah, it got me wondering if, yeah, I was trying to figure out what I might be about to do.
Well, yeah, and it may not be about what you're about to do so much. It's just the thought process. It goes with thought process. You know, what happened with David was that he was used to being busy. He was used to going to war, and he got a little older, and they wanted to protect him, right? So we don't want the king to go out to war anymore because we don't want to take a chance on you getting killed because we need you to, you know, be the king. And so the circumstances got fixed up to where he was, you know, a little bit more sitting around and, you know, doing stuff and not doing, he wasn't about his usual obsessions, you know, of going to war. He loved war. He loved fighting God's enemies. He was an amazing warrior. And he loved fighting God's enemies. He was an amazing worshiper. And so he had gotten to a point where he kind of got laid back. And he went up, you know, and it all got set up, man. He started looking and, you know, and lusting and, just like human beings do. And we have to watch ourselves that we don't start going there. We have to be careful when we're not busy about our jobs or whatever God's having us do, that we can be, we have to be especially careful then to make sure we don't get set up, that the enemy doesn't set us up to bring the sword of the Lord on our lives. I mean, the sword came on him and never left his family after that. It was sad.
Yeah.
And yet he had a heart after God.
Yeah.
He loved God, and we still talk about him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and that's kind of, in a way, that's kind of where I'm at as far as I'm kind of laid back right now because I'm not doing a lot of things I used to do. I've actually been asking God if there's something I should be doing that I'm not. But things are just slow right now for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool. Everything
goes in cycles. You know, life goes in cycles. And so in our cycles, we have to realize that when we get in a slow down cycle and we read the word of God and we see that David had a slow down cycle, you know, of course his was like, you know, a little bit different situation, but still the same scenario, you know, where he was laying back, he had more time to, you know, sit back and, you know, do nothing. And so he wasn't used to that. And so we have to learn from his stuff that to be careful in those times and ask God to, you know, there's a time to take a break and relax and rest. And just totally maybe for, you know, a month, you know, a week, you know, whatever, 6 months, you know, I mean, depends on what's going on. But, you know, but we do have to be careful for those times when we're not doing our normal thing and staying on you know, with having our purpose going on and keeping our focus on something else. And when we start losing our focus, it's like Peter, when he lost his focus on Jesus, just like, that's what happened with David. He lost his focus on, you know, being a warrior and, you know, running the kingdom and having a lot of time on his hands. And he got caught in that moment, and it nailed him, man. So, yeah, we need to look at that and say, not if God's trying to tell us, but God is trying to tell us something, you know. I mean, that's what it's there for.
Okay. And then when you were praying a while ago. I don't remember everything you said, but I'll go back and listen to it again. But I lost my train of thought. But I was going to get you to pray for me to receive some direction in my life because, like I said, there's some things that I'm questioning God on whether I should do this or not. And like you mentioned, me not being afraid to lose some or make mistakes and stuff. I'm kind of going through something right now. Every time I try to do it, I have a loss, and I'm not sure if it's something God wants me to do or not. Kind of one minute I think he's coming to do it, and then the next day I think he's not. So it tells me that my emotions or something's getting in the way. A little bit of confusion.
Sure, sure, yeah. Yeah, you go through a questioning time, and I do the same thing at times. I go through a time of questioning, and I have to step back and just say, Lord, you know, obviously I'm doing something wrong, or you want me to learn something I haven't learned yet. So it's either one of the two. You're doing something wrong, which we all do things wrong, you know. Wrong is what? What do you do when you learn something? You learn what you're doing wrong, right? Wrong isn't like be bad or evil. Wrong is you're doing it, you're listening the wrong way. Like I've heard things from God and misinterpreted them, and my interpretation was wrong, you know. And the word still came to pass, but, you know, my interpretation was messed up. And so I had to learn from that, you know. And, you know, so there's different things that I have. I'm a tester. I like to test. I'm a scientist at heart. I like to experiment with things. But if I'm experimenting with money, I do it with a little. You know, I'm real careful about that. When I'm experimenting with money, you know, there's some things I experiment with small amounts of things, just to see if I'm getting it right. Then if you keep getting it right with a little bit, like the Bible talks about what you do with a little. You know, we talked about it last week about what he talked about the guys who did the 5 talents and made them 10. The one who took 2 talents made them 4. The one who had 1 and buried his. You know, he said that you proved yourself with a little bit. You know, now I'm going to give you a lot. So I think that in learning, in the learning process, we need to, because what happens with me, with everybody, is greed gets on you. You start thinking, you know, not that we're greedy. There's a difference between being a greedy person, and having greed hit you at times. You know, your flesh can get greedy. Mine does. Everybody's does. That's what our flesh does. And so, but having your flesh get greedy sometimes doesn't mean that you're a greedy person. It just means that, you know, you got tempted and, you know, it was a little bit of greed tried to hit you, and you went for it. So instead of putting $5 in, you put $5,000 in or something. You know, and so sometimes we need to learn how to test things with a little bit, and then once we catch the rhythm of how it works and how God speaks to us about it, then we move up. You know, then it's like anything else. You practice with a little bit, you get good with a little bit. You, like the Lord says, now I'm going to give you more, and then you practice with that, and you become successful with that little bit more. Then it's a little bit more, and so He's smart. You know, and when we're learning stuff, sometimes we think that. Because we can hear the voice of God, and we know the voice of God, and we have we think we can just take everything and put everything on something, you know, instead of, you know, hitting it little by little, and let the training process, instead of making $10,000 or something, you make $50, you know, and so until you work it and you work it and you keep working it until you get in the rhythm and the flow. And that's a mistake a lot of people make with everything, you know, from ministry stuff to they want to just go gangbusters. You know, I've made that mistake a few times, and you realize, okay, I guess there's something wrong here. You know, something wrong doesn't mean I'm wrong. It means when you learn something, you know, if I'm learning how to do arithmetic, and my teacher says, okay, Randy, what's 2 + 2? And I go, I think it's 5. She goes, no, that's wrong. You're wrong. It's 4. Think about it. 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, I got it wrong. But getting it wrong doesn't mean that I'm a wrong person, or that I'm a greedy person, or that, you know, I'm stupid. It just means that I'm learning. And when you're learning, if you make a B on a test, that means you were wrong about some things. If you make a C on a test, you were wrong about more things. So I think that we have to, you know, we think with the Spirit, with the things of God and the Spirit of God, we don't have to learn that process, but it's not true. That three dreams and a vision, we need to be really careful that what we learn in levels, you know, in degrees and measures. And so, so I think that, are you doing something wrong? Obviously you are. But what is that? Just like 2 + 2 = 4, and the teacher goes, you're wrong. I'm going, like, if she would have said, man, you are stupid, boy. What's wrong with you? Don't you know that 2 + 2 = 4? That is the most dumb. Get out of my class. Don't ever come back. What kind of teacher would that be? That'd be an idiot teacher. That's what that would be. She goes, honey, now think about it. 2, 1, 2, and 2 more. Think about it. Because, you know, my brain doesn't know. I'm a little kid. I don't know what to do. Oh, I see. 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, now you got it right, Randy. So now what's 5 plus 5? And I go, 5 plus 5. Is it 10? She goes, you got it, man. My God, you got it. You know, so if being wrong doesn't mean that, you know, that you're stupid and that you're not called to do it. It just means, you know, you're learning. But we need to do it, you know, in smaller measures, you know, of our faith. You know, use our faith according to where we're really at instead of where we want to be. And that's what I failed at many times. I want my faith to be, everybody wants their faith. Oh, I got lots of faith, man. Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's go. Let's put everything in on this one. Oh, my gosh. I heard wrong on it just a little bit, and I lost everything. You know, so to speak. And so, yeah. So, you know, that happens in investment in business. People, you know, get too big of a building. They buy too much merchandise. They get overwhelmed. They're not used to the business. They think because they got God with them, it's going to work. And it just, most of the time, it just doesn't, man. And so we get under condemnation. We think, I'm not called to do business. I failed. I had to file bankruptcy because my store I bought. You know, and no, learn from it. Start with the store, about half of that. Instead of 20 employees, which you've never had an employee before, you know, get 2 employees and learn to work with them and learn to work it and learn to work it until you can become successful at it. And then move to the next level. Get a building twice that size with twice the employees, you know, and learn how to, because people get that vain thought, I think everybody does, about we got God with us, so, you know, we can just start out at 100-fold. And it just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's probably my problem right there.
It could be. I don't know. You know, and if it is, so what? So make the learning less painful. You know what I'm saying? It's like, don't stop learning. You know, don't stop growing. Don't stop, just do it. Learn how, but the process is learning how to hear from God. You know, how big of a building do I get for my business? You know, how many groceries can I, you know, so I get over, I go to the bank and I get a big loan. And I got, you know, $100,000 loan and stuff. And I got these employees. And if one thing goes wrong, man, I fail. Instead of having room to work, you know, instead I don't get a loan. I go with, you know, maybe I have some cash. I use the cash. So I'm kind of strapped because I use my cash. But if I lose a little bit of my cash, it's not that big of a deal than being in debt with a $100,000 loan. You know, you see what I'm saying? And so that's kind of it, basically, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that helps me out a lot. I should have known it already, but sometimes you just got to hear it.
No, the spiritual dimension, Chris, very deceitful, very deceptive. The deception with that, the devil does with Jesus. Jesus passed the test, but we hardly ever do the first time. He says, you know, jump off this cliff. You'll be fine. The angels will catch you, you know. Oh, don't you believe God that the angels are going to catch you? Huh? No, you don't believe that? You don't have faith for that? Huh? Yeah, go ahead, jump off. You'll be fine. And Jesus knew it was a temptation that was, you know, he said, get behind me, Satan. You're tempting the Lord. And that's what the devil does with us, except, you know, I've fallen for it, you know, many times. Oh, yeah, I got the faith, man. Of course I've got faith. I've got lots of faith. I could jump off this, and I know the angels are sure they're going to catch me. You know, and we jump off, and we end up in the hospital. You know, it's like, thank God we didn't die. But, and that's what happens, man. And it's so, and Satan does it to us all the time, and we fall for it. The Bible talks about be sober with your measure of faith that you have. Be sober with that. And most of us aren't. And even though I've taught on this before, probably need to teach on it more, because the greatest temptation that we most of us fall for as being spirit-filled believers and people who really trust God for miracles is that we just go a whole hog, you know. And you know, very rare does that work. Very seldom. It's a process of, we do good. What Jesus did with the talent, see, and this is not just for you, Chris. There are people that are listening right now. They're going like, man, I wish you had told me that. Well, I'm telling you right now because I've learned it myself. And this is something that you and everybody I know deal with all the time. So, you know, what Jesus did, we talked about this last week, when he gave the five talents and then the two talents and the one talent, it makes a very specific point. It says he gave it to them according to their ability, right? He didn't give him ten. He gave him five. Why? Because the Bible says that the master gave to each one according to his ability. So the one that had one had less ability, right? But he didn't get more than his ability. He got the one. And he still didn't do right with it. Right? The one he gave to, it says he gave them according to their ability. So that's what we got to really, you know, realize, is that we got to be sober-minded about where our faith really is and go from there. And you know, so when we start being right about things and we make, you know, right decisions and we're hearing from God and we test the waters, you know, that's why the Bible says, test me and see if I will do it for you. Sometimes we have to, I really believe in testing things. And if I'm not careful, you know, I'll get greedy sometimes. My flesh, I'm not a greedy person, but sometimes, you know, I get temporarily greedy about something and say, I'm going to really step out really big on this one, you know, on this thing situation. I'm not just talking about money thing. I'm talking about a lot of different things. But it works in every area. So, yeah, I think it's something that I'm glad we're talking about this, and I thank you for being honest. Well, other people can hear this message tonight because they need to hear it too. They're doing the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate you explaining that to me too. That helps me out. I should have known already, but, you know, when you're sitting there talking about it, I'm like, yeah, I should have known that, but... But yeah, I needed to hear it. I was the guy with the one coin trying to be like the one with ten. Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the community, bro. I'm serious, man. And my big thing is, here's one of the things I made mistakes on. I go from doing good with the one, and then I go to the two, and then I start thinking, man, I got this. Randy, just go. You did good with one. You did good with two. We're gonna go to four now. I know I'm going all the way to ten, baby. I mean, you know, I'm ready for ten. Yeah. And so I step out and do the ten, and I end up back at the one again. You know, because it's so the temptation realm. We got to talk more about this, dude, because. The temptation realm that we all go through. If somebody says they're not tempted to do stuff, that's crazy. They're lying. You know, if you've ever tried to step out and do anything, it's always tempting to go out beyond more than what, you know, God has given you and the ability for. And so it's because we all want to think, we all believe that we have, you know, a lot of faith, and we do have a lot of faith, but we haven't learned how to exercise it. We have to learn how to exercise it. If we have 100-fold faith, we start out with one fold and go from one to three and from three to six and from six to 12 and from 12 to, you know, 50. And, you know what I mean? It's a process of developing the faith that you have. And people think because they have 100 fold that they can just jump out into 100 fold, right? But it's a process. So, and that's what rewards are all about. He rewards us for the measure that we're at. And then we learn how to do it little by little, and we have to watch. Always have to be watching that greed thing, you know. I'm not a greedy person, but I can temporarily get greedy, you know. I can temporarily lose sight of reality, you know, not natural reality, but supernatural reality of where I'm really at, and just mess up, man. So. Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about this tonight. This is something we probably need to spend some time on.
Okay. Well, thanks for explaining it to me.
Well, thanks for talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to talk to somebody about it. So I asked my wife. She's just getting mad at me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better to talk to people that make the same mistake and have sobered up about some things and can talk to you about it without, you know, telling you you're stupid. You know, I've done the same thing. How can I call you stupid when I've done it? So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's good. I know talking to our wives, man, our family members, or even, you know, Job had his friends, you know, and his friends, you know what they did? They had him figured out already, at least they thought they did, but they were all wrong about it.
Yeah.
So we do have to be careful who we talk to, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. That's the only thing I got on my mind. So.
All right. Well, in the world we're living in, you know, God can restore things rather quickly once we learn, once we get a hold of it. You know, I've had him restore me, you know, pretty fast. Once I licked my wounds, the thing that God helped me with is he gave me the strength not to give up. You know, because I've really messed up before. In some areas, you know, and and with me, I have market stuff, right? So I felt when I first got the market thing, I didn't know what I had in my hands. I didn't have a clue what I had in my hands. So I went through some things and didn't understand it all. Helped other people make lots of money, you know, those who listened to it clearly and who understood it. And other people, you know, but I would lose for myself, and so I had to learn a whole lot about that whole realm, you know, and it's easy to give somebody else information, but the person you give information to, whether it's about a job decision or a market situation. You know, when you get specific information to them, you know, it's easy to give the information. It's a whole different thing when you're actually putting that information into action and actually covering your bases and making sure that you're making the right decision when you actually make an investment with that money, you know. And it's just not as easy as it seems. You have to, you know, it just takes experience. It takes, you know, thinking outside the box on, you know, okay, this thing could, you know, I don't want to get into the details of anything with my own stuff, but yeah, we have to, timing is a big thing. And, if I think something's going to come up in, you know, 30 days, you know, I might, buy something for 60 days, you know, just to make sure that I'm covered and that kind of thing, you know. So in other words, the learning how to deal with information is not, the information itself isn't always the answer. It's part of the answer. It's how we deal with that information. Just like when I get in the prophetic realm, when I get prophetic words, like I just got a word about one of the biggest words that I've had in a while about the political arena. Had a dream last Thursday on the 17th, early in the morning, and about a major situation that's coming before us politically. You know, and so, I mean, I could have shared it that night, you know. But, you know, I learned, although I think I understand it, before I make something public, I used to just blurt it right out, you know. Start telling what I thought it meant, and it's obviously this, and it's obviously this. So when you make a mistake or two, you get the word right, but you know, you start trying to give the interpretation too soon. And so, like this word is a big word. It's a big political word. And a dream, it's panoramic. It was panoramic, and the whole thing is really clear. It's simple, but powerful to the future of the next couple of years. And, you know, I wanted to talk about it that night, man. I get excited about things. You know, oh yeah, my God, man, you're not going to believe this, Dad. And so today, you know, I'm still haven't shared it, you know. I sat on the weekend, and I'm meditating on it, and I'm saying, God, you know, show me what this stuff means. Because just because we have a word from God doesn't mean that we are going to apply it, you know, the right way. It has to be applied the right way, especially when you talk about market stuff. You know, I mean, there's – you know, I deal with a lot of market people, and they ask me for information, give me information. And, you know, it's one thing to get a word from the Lord. It's another thing, like, I do charts sometimes. And sometimes I send out a word, and the people that know me know that when I say I mixed my chart, I mixed some chart work with the word of the Lord. they know that the chart work is not going to be, you know, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is, was like this particular thing was 33, and I sent out, you know, several texts. I think I might have sent that to you. I can't remember, but the 33, and that, you know, and then I put in there, I mixed it with chart work. Well, I probably, you know, sometimes I'm used to people knowing what I say when I mix something. That means that was my interpretation to doing it by charts. It's not the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is 33, which we, by the way, we've watched that. You probably watched the market too, but it hit 33 the second time, as you know, about 10 days ago. I think today was the 10th day of market day that it's gone to 33 and hovered at 33 again. You know, I gave that word months ago that it was going to do it twice, and nobody believed that word, Chris. Nobody. But it's, you know, but also sometimes what I do is that I'm trying to learn how to see if God will, you know, God, will you allow me to, you know, use charts to see timing. And so I've done that with charts a little bit here and there and got close, but wasn't perfect. But, you know, people that know me know that when I say mix means, you know, that the word of the Lord is 33, but I mixed it with the chart thing that I'm working on for timing. And, you know, so they know how to adjust with that, but, it's a big thing right now. It's come back to 33 again. And, so I'm going to talk about that here pretty soon. I've got a lot of information on the 33 thing and the timing of the crown that it made. Did I send that about the crown thing to you?
Yes, you did.
At the crown.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I sent that to, I think I sent it to everybody, but on that, because we're going to talk about it on the show, but that 33 thing right there and the way it crowned, dude, wait till you hear everything about it. I started talking about it tonight, but I changed my mind and went a different direction. But I, this weekend or this week, sometime maybe last week, for a couple of days, he opened up the 33, that whole thing with 33 and the three points of the crown. Dude, wow. I mean, I couldn't believe all the threes that were involved in that. Like King Charles III, you know, when the crown was about, you know, I got that word on May the 12th and sent it out May the 12th. And about the three, about it's going to hover at 33. And then after it hovered at 33 in May and June, for eight business days, eight market days, it created a crown. You know, I took actually that picture I sent everybody. It's actually a picture that I got off of the, you know, actual chart on the off my phone, and off the market chart, and then God began to show me that crown, you know, later on, well, I was in June, July, August, and then so in September, 3 months later, almost to the day, that was June the 7th when that 3 point crown finished up, you know, making the last third point, June the 7th. And then June the 7th, July, August, September, on September the 8th, almost exactly 3 months later, three months later, the queen died on the 8th, right? And then she was Queen Elizabeth the 2nd. Well, when King Charles got crowned, He was King Charles the 3rd, you know. So anyway, it goes on and on and on and on and on, and this, I mean, this whole thing has unlocked a dimension that most people probably won't understand it when I talk about it, but at least it'll be on there where they can go back and listen to it and get information out of it. But it is packed full of information. I mean, I couldn't believe all the information that came out of that. After doing research on it and looking back at the details. And so y'all get ready, even if you don't understand it. It's going to be revolutionary to those who have a mind for the market and have a mind for the prophetic, and how the market, at least with me personally, the gifting God's given me for the market, the gift of that is mixed with pointing to the future. And it's just amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So anyway, I didn't mean to talk about all that either, but I did. So hey, man, I'm sorry for your whatever struggles you're going through. I go through them too. But, man, don't give up and learn, you know, try to learn in smaller measures, I guess, where it doesn't, you know, until you do like they did. They learned how to, you know, they said, Master, we doubled it. You go, okay, you doubled it. Good. Then you're ready for, you know, 10 cities. You're going to rule 10 cities. And he knew according to their abilities that they could do things. So, you know, it's not that we don't have hundredfold faith. Some people, God, they're going to walk a hundredfold. I believe it. I believe I'm going to. But I'm not living in that now, and I'm learning how to develop it, you know, little by little. It's a process. And so, yeah, anyway, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you, Chris, for being honest and talking tonight, opening up and talking about stuff. And yes, are you doing things wrong? Everybody's doing things wrong because 2 + 2 is not 5, it's 4.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
Right? But does that mean the teacher kicks us out and says, you're dumb, you're never going to make it? No, he goes, oh, honey, let me teach you, you know, 2 + 2, just think about it, 2, you know. That sounds like a simple way to explain it, but I mean, that is so exactly right. You think I'm wrong about things? Absolutely. You know why? Because we're learning, man. So we're going to be wrong. And the teacher is so gracious and kind. You know, he doesn't get mad and throw us out and say, we're worth this piece of trash. You're never going to make it, you know. Now, he knows he's training the future. So he's patient and kind. He makes sure that we get it. And so, yeah. Yep. For sure. We're on our way. That's all I can say. We're on our way. We've got to be patient with ourselves and you've got a chance to train us and do it in levels. So, all right, my brother. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Okay. Let's go here to 781-775. I think this is... my friend from California.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, Martine, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. Let's pray for you. I'm going to meet you for a second. Let's pray for you. And Martine from California, thank you. Martine just got married and all kinds of things. Wow, the whole married life, the whole married stuff, the whole married situation. It's an amazing trip. Thank you, God, for everything. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the amazing trip that you trusted her with, God. That you're trusting her with things. She was patient. She was, you know, that means she didn't cry. That means she didn't get upset. That means she didn't, you know, go on a fast and pray hard. You know, she did all that. She hung in there and she stuck with it, and she became successful in this level, this place, and the successes and the testing just keeps going on. And the more that we're tested, the more we pass those tests, the more honors we get. And so that's why we don't give up, because we're going for the honor, not the honor of man, but the honor of God. And when God honors us, then men are going to eventually honor us. They may whine and complain and say, I don't like to do this. But eventually, you know, when we honor God and please God, then we're going to find ourselves, people are going to be pleased with us. People are going to change their mind toward us. People are going to say, hey, you know, I didn't like you. I thought you were kind of whatever. But you know what? You've proven out to be, you know, serving God and looking to God and believing God. And you know what? Anybody does that, they're my friend. Yeah, they're my friend. That's for sure. So I thank you, Jesus, for we just keep going on when we make mistakes, when we fail, and we cry and we groan and we are in pain. But Lord, we choose to just keep our eyes on you, Jesus. Even though sometimes we want to quit, sometimes we want to throw in the towel, sometimes we want to get mad at people, we want to blame people and blame everybody else, blame everything, but just instead of learning, blaming doesn't learn. I can't blame somebody because I said 2 + 2 = 5. Oh, you know, that's my mama told me that this morning. She said, Randy, 2 + 2, I could have lied, blamed it on somebody. You know, the teacher says, you got to get this right. You know, I'm going to teach you, you're going to learn. And instead, you know, I just, you know, I made a mistake. Okay. And I had a good teacher, had somebody to teach me well, and somebody just to show me that being wrong, it just means you're growing, you're learning. Being wrong means
that you're going to get it right. And our teacher doesn't mind saying, you were wrong. No, that's wrong. We've got to quit being afraid to say that's wrong. If we say it with condemnation, like that's wrong, and you're wrong, and you're bad, and you're ugly, you're not going nowhere, you never did anything. No, we say that's wrong. You know what? 2 + 2, let's go back over it again. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You're the one. You know, you're gonna go places. Come on. I know you're smart, and I know you got it. Come on. 2 + 2. And they just keep working with us, keep knowing. Pretty soon, we're in college. We're passing geometry tests, chemistry tests, all kinds of things. We look back at that teacher and go, thank God, when I was learning what 2 + 2 was, she or he didn't give up on me and didn't call me a bum and stupid, but just had compassion and knew that telling me wrong, when I was wrong, I was wrong, but told me that I was wrong the right way. You're wrong. That's not right. You know what? Let's look at it again. You can do this. And told me I was wrong with the right attitude. Told me I was wrong with the right spirit. Told me I was wrong and that I was going to get it right. Thank God for that. Because, yeah, amen. All right. Anyway, I don't know what that's all about, but what's going on, Martine?
Nothing much, but I do have Caleb along with me. He wanted to talk to you.
Caleb, okay. Get him on here. Is he on the phone?
Yeah, he's on. Go ahead, Caleb.
Can you hear him?
I can hear you, Caleb. Hold on a minute.
Oh, all right.
Pastor Randy, you still there?
Hello.
Hello. Hello?
Can you hear me? I don't know if it's doing something weird. T-Mobile
yeah,
is not friendly.
I can't tell who I'm talking to, though. Who is this talking? Hello?
This is Caleb.
Okay, Caleb, got you. Sorry. You still sounded like your mom a little bit, like muffled, like your mom's voice muffled or something. I couldn't tell if she it was muffled talking.
I know. Everyone tells me that. But I
oh,
really,
do they really
wanted to. Yes.
Okay. You wanted to go ahead.
But I wanted to call just to ask for just a word on some of the past week or so that I've been dealing with some issues, some financial issues.
Oh, bless your heart. All right. Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, let me mute you so I don't have any background on. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for Caleb. Lord, we thank you for your love for Caleb. I thank you for his intelligence. God, I thank you for his ability to work things through and work things out. And God, as you give him the right information and you speak to him and you give him the right information that he will reason. The Bible says, let us reason with God. And so reason with God, sometimes, you know, when we reason the wrong way. It's like we're talking about 2 + 2 being I thought it was 5, you know. No, you're wrong. It's 4. She had to start teaching me how to think correctly, how to add up correctly. And once I got it, I learned how to reason the way, you know, that was right. And so I got, oh, wow, okay, there you go. First, I was reasoning wrong. I came to God and I reasoned wrong on things. So I made wrong decisions. I did wrong things. I made wrong, you know, I did that. I've done that. I've done it many times. And so when I started to reason the right way, when God began to help me and show me, This is why you're having this problem, Randy, because you're reasoning the wrong way. I go, okay, so 2 + 2 is not 4. I know that now, or not 5. I know that now. So it is 4. So I got, so teach me how to reason, God. Show me how to reason with you. And so the Lord began to teach me little by little. It took a long time on how to reason with him. He's not a bully who just, you know, you don't believe my way. You know, he's, you know, now as far as salvation goes, you know, there's only one way to the Father, and that's Jesus, period. But as far as, you know, teaching us and learning, you know, from how to, you know, as far as money situations, how to deal with our money, not just how to give money to preachers or give money to the poor and the needy, but how to deal with money in general, how to think about money, how to process the money through, because God wants to bless all of us, and how we need to, you know, have help with, you know, instead of always holding our hand out, you know, like I've done with my parents many times. I've done it with, with a government. I've done it with preachers and churches. You know, I'm in trouble. Can you help me? And, you know, they would help me sometimes. And sometimes they would say, you know what, I want to teach you how to fish so that I don't have to be catching fish for you and you have to come to me to get the fish. I'm going to teach you how to fish. I'm going to teach you how to reason out, how to be prosperous, how to be blessed. So they quit feeding me every time I had a problem. They started saying, you know, okay, take your fishing rod, the bait on it right here, and, you know, get it baited, and then you have to throw it out there and, you know, get it out there and wait and be still and don't make a bunch of noise and be real quiet and wait. And they teach you how to fish. You know, we're teaching people how to fish, not just how to receive fish, how to stand in the fish line to get fish, right, which we all have to do sometimes. All of us have to do that. That's why the Bible says take care of the poor and the needy, because sometimes the poor and needy don't know how to fish yet. So our job is not to keep giving them fish, you know, make sure they could live and have, you know, shirt on their back and food in their mouth, but teach them how to fish. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, for teaching my brother teaching Caleb how to fish, how to catch those fish, where he can be totally independent. I don't need nobody. People think, well, that's just kind of selfish and greedy. Yeah, I don't need nobody. I don't need nothing. No, God wants you to be independent, Caleb. He wants you to be independent on everything. He wants you to get your information from God independently. You know, until then, we learn from pastors, we learn from leaders, we learn from our parents, we learn from, you know, our mistakes and all that. We learn from that. But the goal is to learn from God ourselves. How do we reason? So preachers and mothers and fathers teach kids how to reason things out so they can, because every parent wants their child not to be dependent on them all their life. Every church and preacher doesn't want them to be, every time you have a problem, come to the church about all of it. Now they want to teach them how to fish and find answers for themselves from God. And so I thank you, Lord, for Caleb, God, and teaching Caleb how to fish and how to find answers from you, from your word, because of his love for the truth, God, his craving for the truth. God is going to lead him to the truth no matter what, no matter what it costs. Even if he doesn't agree with the truth, he's going to agree because he knows that it's what's going to prosper him and bless him. And how he deals with money and come to the truth about that and dealing with that. As he deals with that, God, you're going to bless him abundantly in Jesus' name. So help him, God, to find that place to reason with you and how to reason with you and how to think. And when he starts thinking right, then things are going to be right. Until then, you know, just like with me, if I don't think right, I just keep messing up. When we don't think right, we keep messing up. Brandy Chandler does it all the time. If I don't think right about something, if I haven't been taught by God how to do it or I haven't learned from the right people, I keep making the same mistakes and doing the same thing over and over and over again. And like that's called, I think some people call that insanity. Yeah, I think that's what they call it. You make the same mistake all the time and never learn from it. You know, that's sometimes human beings get caught up in a cycle of insanity. And they keep thinking, I'm just going to keep doing the same old thing. And one of these things is not going to produce that same thing, but it never does. And they go their whole life in circles. I've done it until God says, what are you doing? Wake up, Randy. Come and reason together with me. I'm a reasonable person, but I'm a reason with you to show you how to reason, how to think. When you start thinking right, things start happening right for you. And that literally is true. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. Added to you, not to your mama, not to the church, not to your pastor, not to your boss, not to your leaders, but to you, Caleb. That's to you. All things will be added to you because God wants to bless you tremendously, but he wants to show you how to do it, you know, his way, the right way. And when we do it the right way, then we quit going in circles and defeating ourselves all the time, shooting ourselves in the foot. I've shot myself in the foot so many times, I'm surprised I have a foot left. It's amazing how stubborn I can be on some things, man. It's amazing. And God finally just, you know, lets me go down. God has let me, Caleb, God has let Randy Chandler go down the tubes a time or two. Like he let Peter sink, right, to say, hey, man, you know, you got to think about what you're doing. And so I started thinking, okay, wow. Okay, Lord, help me out. Because, you know, I don't know. If you don't show me, I'm not going to know. All right, Caleb, it's all about learning, man, and I'm a slow learner, so sometimes God has to, like, really get my attention a time or two.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that.
Yeah, well, I tell you, listen, you are not the only one, Caleb. That is, I don't know how old you are. I think you're in your 20s. How old are you?
21.
21, yeah. So when I was 21, thank God I got saved when I was 20. And if I hadn't, I would have really been really messed up because I was going down the wrong road real quick. But, you know, thank God that, and still, you know, I still didn't get it all right. I still messed up a lot and made mistakes and failed and went in circles for a while. And God let me fail sometimes to show me that, you know, I'm not going to rescue you every time because I want you to learn how to think and how to work. And I'm going, okay. Well, I didn't like that part of God at first. I really didn't, man. I mean, I hated that part of God, honestly. I'm going, God, can't you just rescue me? How can you just – I thought you rescued people. He goes, yeah, but I'm going to teach you how to do it right so I don't have to rescue you. You don't need miracles every day. You need to learn how to do it right. I'm going like, oh, I thought we needed miracles every day. I thought miracles were cool. Anyway, I'm talking too much. What's going on?
Well, I don't think you're talking too much. But I will say it has been very it's been very difficult the past year or 2 years, ever since I left the Navy. It just kind of felt like a lot of things have been stacked against me before I even – actually, no. I mean, a better way to put it is I felt like I lost battles before I even started fighting them.
I can relate to that.
And I
can really relate to that.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's
like
been
the,
just
like the deck was stacked against you before you had a chance to even play.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Listen, man, you do not know who you're talking to, because that's what's my life. It still sometimes is my life. You know, I've had to learn. God has made sure, you know, He's taught me to do it. To where I learned how to do it, not because other people taught me. Thank God for the people that tried to teach me, but I just wasn't very – I was too rebellious. I wanted to do it my way, and in some ways that was good because once I learned it from God, then I did it really, really good. So when I did it right, the way – because of my stubbornness, finally when I got it so good I did it better than most people did once I got it. But until then I was horrible, you know, seriously.
That's definitely how I was with music when I first started. I was definitely just subpar. And now, actually tomorrow I'm releasing a new song. I'm trying to promote it and stuff. But,
really? Awesome.
Yes. I've been a music producer
yet,
for 7 years, but
that is so cool. Have you got a name for it? Literally?
I actually named it 22, and that's specifically why I set it to release on the 22nd, is because it's just kind of a release of all the energy and emotion that I've had this year.
Wow, cool. Wow, 22, I like that, because 22 is one of my favorite numbers. Literally, I've even said this year that 2022, I think I even sent your mom a card, I'd never do that, send out little poster cards, and I had a little thing I made up myself, and I had the Ark of the Covenant on there, so it said that 2022 is going to be the year for, I didn't say it's going to be the year for you, but 2022 is the year of treasures, where treasures are going to be locked in 2022, and we're getting near the end of that, right? And so I've had a lot of treasures open up for me, not so much financially, although that's always a little part of it, but in information, you know, information is everything. Like when you write a song, that's information. When you're putting your passion out, that's information, right? And so when that information touches people, it's powerful.
It is. It is. And that's why I love music so much, is because it's a language that not many people speak. But it's one that I speak, and so I feel like I can put everything about me into music as like a diary.
Right. Cool. Yeah.
But,
and
yeah.
Diaries change over the years. You know, they change. Songs change. People change. I know that some of the greatest writers that I've seen write music, you know, when they first start out in the music world, you know, they believe a certain way, they think a certain way, and you can see the growth of their life as they write songs. So, and that will all change. But in every area, every level, they learn from it, and people learn from what they were learning from. So as you continue to learn, you know, and write and change as you change and whatever, you know, we all grow, we all learn, right? That of music, I think it's awesome.
Yes. I always love music. But the real reason why I called, I know I kind of get off on divergent on tangents, but recently I just got into a car crash, and that, like, very heavily set me back financially.
Wow. So the whole car crash thing is like medical and just everything all together, or what can you say?
No, more so it came with more fees. Like, now I have to like do a court battle and stuff like that, and it's a whole bunch of stress.
Right, right. So you're going to court about it, and it's a legal thing happening, and that's legal fees and all the whole thing. I guess that's kind of what you're saying, yeah. Wow.
Yes.
That happens. Yeah. So in a situation, were you right, or were you wrong in your situation? Were you at fault, or you may not be able to talk about it publicly, but.
Well, regardless of what the law says, I don't feel like I was in the wrong for it due to the fact of how it all went down.
Okay.
The guy,
right.
He decided behind another guy to swerve in front of me, and then he slammed on his brakes, and then I ended up hitting him.
Wow. Almost like a head-on?
No, it was rear-end.
Rear-end. Oh, rear-end. Okay, so you rear-ended him?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That makes it difficult when you rear-end somebody, yeah. So you have to... All right, so that makes sense in your battle with that, yeah, so... Yeah, that can be a deal. So we really need to pray about that, and God give you wisdom how to reason that out. And yeah, wow, okay. You need some favor. You need some wisdom, and of course, money helps too, right? Yeah, for sure.
Yes, definitely.
Having a good attorney is a good thing, you know. I'm for attorneys. I like it's like having a doctor. I just recently got a doctor. I don't really need a doctor, but I went for different reasons. I had my blood checked and different things, but I've never been against doctors. But when I get a doctor, you want a good one, you know. You want somebody who kind of, you know, believes like you. I'm not a real pharmaceutical person. I'm more of a natural person, and so, you know, when we find doctors as well as attorneys, we find people that, you know, that can, you know, fight for us in the right way.
Right.
And be good. Yeah.
I'm more
all
so
right.
Just worried because I'm not in the most liquid of situations with my money. So I'm just kind of worried about how much that's going to run me for, because I don't really have anything to my name right now. Like, I'm not in the best situation right now.
Yeah. So are you suing them, or are they suing you?
As of right now, nothing is official. There's no, like, fully official set in stone
paperwork,
action.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So are they having medical issues, and are they state claiming all kinds of stuff, or is it one of those kind of deals?
I don't really have, like, a lot of information, but
okay.
It kind of seemed like they were trying to claim something, but I highly
right.
doubt it's anything.
Right, okay. Yeah, I had a guy rearing me at a stoplight. I just pulled out of Walmart, and I was at the stoplight and pulling out there, and he was good. Thank God he was honest, you know. He was in a big truck, and he just rear-ended my truck. Dented it a little bit, you know, but I mean, it popped my head back, and you know, he kept calling me. He said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Well, I don't know. My neck goes in and out, up and down, you know." And I was just being honest with him, and so he finally got his insurance, and you know, and I told him my neck seems to be okay, but I'm not sure because I haven't, you know. So things can get crazy, you know, and if somebody's not being honest. You know, and they got good attorneys. You really it takes you know, the Lord and good attorneys to take care of stuff. So we have to pray that it either won't go there, that we make it right before we go to the judge, like the Bible says. You know, sometimes on the way to the judge, you know, make sure you try to make it right with them somehow or another. And but if that's not possible, then of course you got to go to court. But sound like a situation going on there, Caleb. Sorry to hear it.
Kind of one thing after the other, you know?
Yep. Sometimes it happens. It's happened to me. I know I've had some stuff, you know, back in my drug days when I was doing my stuff, you know, the I think the week before I got saved, I wrecked my car. I'd been selling dope. You know, not much. I wasn't like a big dealer or anything. I just kind of sold marijuana here and there and started getting into that world, you know. And, you know, I had kinfolk that were police chiefs, you know, chief of detectives, you know, my kinfolk. And here I am over here selling drugs. And I wasn't doing much of it. But so I had this car, this brand new car, and it was already under conviction, and I went to work one day, and I pulled into the parking lot a bit too fast, and I slid on the gravel, and I just got through getting that car fixed on that one side, and I pulled into the parking lot that day, I think I just got it fixed like that day, I remember maybe the day before, and I came into the parking lot, and I slid right under the bumper of a truck and dented the same place exactly, and something told me, you know, I deserved that, you know, like, I just, you know, have we reap what we sow, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that. And I'm going like, okay, I think that's right. I wish I wouldn't have doing this stuff. So I got on real honest with myself about it. And, you know, and I think that weekend is when I, you know, asked God if you're real, you know, I didn't know it. So sometimes, you know, stuff happens, you know, like everything was falling apart for me. And it's happened to me as a Christian too, you know, and I start saying, God, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to straighten out? Am I thinking wrong? What's going on? And I have to be honest. We have to be really honest with ourselves and with God and say, you know, what am I doing wrong? If I'm doing something wrong, because Christians do things wrong all the time. I mean, people who are believers mess up on stuff, you know, and it's just not, to God, it's not a big deal, but it's whether we correct it or not, you know, to shut that door from those things to keep piling up and piling up, because I've had them pile up on me until I changed what I was doing. You know, God finally says, you know, I'm not going to rescue you, Randy. You know, you need to stop thinking like this. I'm like, okay, God, you know, forgive me. Show me how to do it. And he was gracious and led me and guided me and, you know, led me out of every bit of it, amazingly. So it's all about learning. Are we willing to learn rather just at wanting God to rescue us every time we mess up? Sometimes God stops rescuing us in the sense of, you know, he wants us to learn. And so that might be part of the situation, possible. You know, it's happened with me. Still happens with me to this day. So you might consider that and, you know, ask the Lord to show you how to reason, how to think,
and open up the door for him to help you get through this thing, and he will. He's very gracious. He's very gracious and kind, even when we are messed up about stuff. I mean, I've been messed up about a lot of things, and God was so gracious and kind to me in spite of it, because I was willing to be honest with him, you know, and say, you know, okay,
no.
I'm really messing this up. So how do I get it? Like, and he's so gracious, man. He's so loving and so kind. He knows that human beings are just screwed up sometimes, you know, and he knows it already, and he knows that we're gonna get it eventually. But we need to work on this one little area, in one little area at a time. And so that's the way it's been with me, man. I just try to be real honest about my stuff and not lie to myself, although I have done plenty of lying to myself, and try to be honest with myself and with God. And he always respects that when we do that. So just consider all that, and we'll be praying with you about it and believing God to help get you through it and get you what you need.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. You are so, so welcome. All right, Caleb, let's pray for you right now. Thank you, Jesus, for Caleb, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for his honesty, for his truthfulness, God, for him being honest with himself and truthful with. I'm going to mute you so I hear I'm hearing the background echoing. That he's honest with you, God, and the things that he's not being honest with you about, God, just like I've at times have, you know, lied to myself about certain things. That you show him. Sometimes we just think, well, this is okay and that's okay, and I can act like this to people and talk like that to people and be disrespectful to authorities and leaders, and life's going to go well with me, and life doesn't go well with me. You know, the Bible says, honor thy mother and father, much less just mother and father, authorities and leadership, that life may go well with you. And we don't honor them, we find our life not going well with us, whether it's police officers or leaders and authorities over our life, our bosses, whatever. It's not just mom and dad. It's authorities in general. And I was really bad about that. And even though I love God and I was serving God, you know, and witnessing for him and stuff, I had a disrespect for leadership that he had to burn out of me. And because it was causing my life not to go well with me. You know, it wasn't that I was doing bad things. I just had a bad authority problem. And until I dealt with that, then life started going better with me and going well with me. The Bible says, honor thy mother and father. You can just take it beyond mother and father. You can go to authority figures in general, that life may go well with you. So, Lord, I thank you that Caleb is an honest person, and the things that he's thought is okay, and he's deceived himself. And God, the Bible says, God is not mocked. What's a man soweth, that shall also reap. You know, it took me a long time, but I still wake up to that scripture. God going, don't be mocked, or don't mock, Randy. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap it. I'm going like, okay, well, show me what I'm sowing. I don't even know what I'm doing. And he shows me. He's always, when we're honest with him and be truthful with him, he's so loving. He's so gracious. He overlooks a lot of our stuff and just says, you know, I want to bless you here. I want to teach you one thing at a time. I'm going to forget all that other stuff right now. I'm going to teach you how to be honorable. I'm going to teach you how to honor. I'm going to teach you how to honor. I'm going to teach you how to. But what about all this other stuff? Just don't worry about that other stuff. I'm going to teach you one thing at a time. And when you start learning that, then I'm going to teach you the next thing. And then I'm going to teach you the next thing. And then I'm going to teach you the next thing. And then you're going to get it right. Pretty soon you're going to find yourself going, wow, look how gracious God was to me. And I didn't deserve it. That's how gracious our God is, man. He's a loving, kind God who's gracious and kind and forgiving and loving and knows that we don't know everything, knows that we're finding our way, knows that we're going to make mistakes, knows that we're going to believe the wrong things at times. He knows that. You know what? He doesn't give a rip. He starts focusing on the things that are messing us up now, getting those things right with that. And then little by little, each thing gets lined up as we go along. He's gracious. He's a loving, merciful God. And I thank you, Lord, for Caleb, God, and his precious life, God, how precious you think he is and his life is, Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name, and help him, God, in his youth. Help him in the things he doesn't know yet. Because you don't hold him accountable for the things he doesn't know. You hold him accountable for the things that he does know. And we thank you, Lord, that you're showing him how to deal with the things that he does know, that he is being held accountable for. Not the things he doesn't know, the things he does know. And we thank you, Lord, for the few things he does know, or a lot, whatever he does know. And teaching him how to work with you on that. You're going to prosper him and bless him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right.
I'm not sure where Martine went or if Martine's talking or not, but anyway, I guess we will move on here. Praise God. God is good. Thank God he is patient, and thank God he is kind to us, right? Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Yeah. How gracious and kind our God is in spite of our stupidity, man. I've been stupid, double stupid. God has been gracious, a lot more gracious than my stupidity. I can take that right now. He is a good God. He knows we want him, and he knows that we don't have all of him, and we're going to gain. He'll stop and focus on one area. He'll leave the 99 areas of our life that are really messed up, and he'll go on one thing, and so one edit, and we'll get that down. Then we go to the next thing, we get that down, go to the next thing. And then if we can handle two or three things, then he'll do that. But it's little by little. And he's gracious to us, and he covers us and protects us as long as we stay honest. Amen. If we start deceiving ourselves, then we cut ourselves off and don't even know it. And, Lord, I thank you for all the time you saved me in spite of myself, Jesus. Thank you. Literally, what a good Thanksgiving offering. Thank you, God, for being gracious to me in spite of myself. Hallelujah. You know what? I can see tonight why I started preaching on the blood on our hands. I want to give people the truth, the whole truth, but I want to give it in love and compassion, because the way God has been to me, and very gracious, very patient, and very kind in times that anybody else would have shut me off. And a lot of them did. And who could blame them, really? But God is gracious and kind. And he never did shut me off. So I'm so grateful. You talk about being thankful for that. I'm thankful for that tonight. Very grateful, very thankful. All right, let's take our next caller tonight. Let's see what we got here. All right. Okay. All right, let's go here. And 804-218. Who am I talking to? It's Angie from Virginia.
Hey, Randy. It's Angie from Virginia for sure.
Hey.
Not talking till I cry.
All right. All right. Yeah. All right. All right, Angie, pray for you. Absolutely. Thank you. All right, let's pray for you. I'm going to meet you just for a second. Hang on just a minute. I'll be right back. All right, Angie, let's pray over you. Thank you, Lord, for Angie tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your help that comes from the Lord, God. Comes from the Lord. That our help comes from the Lord. But what does that mean? Ooh, good question. My help comes from the Lord. And then people tell you 1% of what the Lord says, and that's their help. They only get one. Instead of going from everything that God has, everything that God says, we go to that one thing that Paul says, and I read the scripture earlier tonight in the book of Acts where he says that I declare to you the whole gospel. Amen. He shared the whole thing, the whole gospel. People don't even understand what the whole gospel, most people don't understand what the whole gospel is. You know, it's all the whole counsel of God, not just the gospel. It's the counsel. Amen. Where's that at? I'm going to find that exact scripture. I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God, not just the gospel. When people, I like this word he uses in verse 27. This is, what is this? Acts 20, 27. And he says, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God, not just the gospel. Because people look at the gospel and they go like, the gospel is preaching forgiveness of sin, and it is all that. But he said the whole counsel of God. So counsel is much bigger than, quote, what some people think the gospel is, right? But the counsel, he gave to them the whole counsel of God. In other words, don't just, if you're talking about
natural things, you talk about natural answers. Talk about spiritual things, talk about spiritual answers. Sometimes they mix together, sometimes they don't. You're talking about, you know, the supernatural realm. Most people don't understand that the supernatural realm, you know, it's the natural with the super together. And super isn't always just amazing, miraculous intervention and miracles. Sometimes super is the supernatural information. In other words, God says, you know, like I've had, this is just a thing that we've, you know, I've been finding out lately, just recently, that there's people who have major cancer and tumors, major cancer tumors, you know, about to die, on the way to death, and have a death sentence on them, and have carrot juice, having 5 8-ounce bottles of carrot juice per day, and it totally shrinks and went away. I mean, that was, to me, that was supernatural. It was in the natural realm, but it was a super idea from God. In other words, God gives us super ideas about how to stay healed, because God doesn't want us to live on miracles. Thank God for miracles. Well, we love to have the miracle ministry, but wouldn't it be nice if we don't have to live by miracles? We live in obedience to God, and living in obedience to God, you know, we don't have to have miracles all the time. People need miracles all the time because they're always getting themselves in trouble, right? I need a miracle. Oh, we believe in the God of miracles. What about if you'd have been obeying God the whole time and had the whole counsel of God, and you would have needed that miracle, right? You would have never had that cancer, you know, so to speak, if you hadn't have been eating pig slop all your life. Or like Jesus told some people, he forgave them, he healed them. He said, go and sin no more. Sometimes that's the answer. Sometimes you have to tell people, it's not a condemnation, but it's go and sin no more. That's the answer. You know, if you go back to sinning, some people start eating right, their body starts getting right, and then they go back to eating bad, and their body starts going back to what it was. You know, what is that? Is that the demon? Is that the devil? Yeah, the devil's lying to people saying, you can go back to doing it, you can go back. Jesus said, don't go back. Don't sin no more. Keep doing right. Keep doing right. So the supernatural realm is much different than we think it is. And thank you, Lord, for you teaching us that, God. Thank you for teaching Angie that. Thanks for showing her that. Thanks for showing us the whole counsel of God, Father, in Jesus' name, because preachers and the religious spirit just tells us one side of it. They don't tell us the whole counsel of God. Help me, help Angie, help us here at PGN to give the whole counsel of God, the whole counsel. But most people haven't even heard, you know, an eighth of the counsel of God. Help us get the whole counsel of God. Help us with it. We need it. We need the spirit of revelation. That's why Paul the Apostle prayed, Angie, to the church. He said, God, let them have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Christ Jesus. Because he didn't want to sit there and have to counsel people 24 hours. You have to counsel people 24 hours a day. You have to have 10,000 preachers counseling people 24 hours a day to help half the people in the world. Maybe probably help that many of them. You know, so what do we need to do? We need to start praying. God, teach them how to eat right. Teach them how to fish. Teach them how to hear from you. So we start teaching people how to hear from God. And they hear from God, they don't have to. They come to us once in a while about really big things they can't. But all the other things, they figure them out for themselves. They're going, God, I don't need as many miracles as I used to. Hallelujah. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. All right, anyway, I'm preaching now. What's going on?
Well, I'm one of them miracle folks.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, I get my britches snagged. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, miracles. But, good to have miracles. Good to pray for miracles. We're not against that at all, as you know that. But
yeah, oh, I know.
Wouldn't it be nice if we learned the whole counsel, man? And I know what you're saying. You're saying what I'm saying too. That we're always gonna be praying for miracles for people because we're all learning, we're all growing. And sometimes things are not about learning things. Sometimes Jesus said, "Was he blind because of the sin of his father and mother?" It had nothing to do with the sin. It had to do with he's gonna glorify God. You know. So sometimes. It's not always the same answer. The whole counsel of God says not everything's the same answer.
Absolutely. I've experienced the process of healing, and I've also had the supernatural healing. You know, it's...
Yes.
It's...
Yeah.
You know, the process is the grueling process. The quick one wasn't so quick, but you know what I'm saying. It's that wow, but the process is a learning. It's not a wow.
Yeah.
You're learning learning
yeah.
the nature or the language of God through your experiences, I guess.
Right.
And his word, you know, it lines up together. But I had a minister say, and it was a very prominent one that's, you know, on the main circuit. You know what I'm, you know what I'm saying when I say main circuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know,
not
they said that.
Not here at PGN, in other
uh-huh.
words. Not here at PGN.
Well, Randy, I don't know. I imagine you're pretty popular in some realms, huh?
I don't think
around
so.
The
I don't
guy
know.
Around the
guy.
Around the. You don't think that they go, oh, God, here comes Randy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, oh, God.
Troublemaker.
Sometimes, oh, God is. Oh, God is real happy, and sometimes, oh, God is, you know, like, oh, God, here he comes. This is awesome. And sometimes, oh, God, here he comes. We better watch it. I'm sure it's both.
I hear you. In other words, a lot of times you want to pull your foot out your mouth sometimes.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Both of them. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Both feet, got you. What's Randy all balled up and knot? He's got his feet and his hands in his mouth. That must be a big one.
That's a big one, really big one, exactly. So you're talking about the main
but
circuit
I
people saying
to,
something? What were you going to say before I interfere?
Yeah,
with
but, well, you said to get he looked me dead eye and said, don't give the details. And I'm like, how do you give a testimony without including details?
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, you know, don't tell the process or I don't know. Maybe I took it wrong. But, you know,
yeah.
I was like.
Well, it depends on the environment. If you're on a TV show and you're taking testimonies and you need to take your testimony and you have like 10 testimonies on the show and you tell people, you know, don't give the details, just give the overall. And then if they like the overall, then we'll invite you back on the show. You can have the whole show and get the details. So if that's what he was talking about, I don't know. I don't know what he was saying, but yeah, I know what you're talking
yeah.
about. The details, but people need the details though.
Well,
sometimes.
Yeah, that may, well, yeah, maybe I give too much sometimes. Maybe that.
Well, it's not whether you give it. It's not whether you give it too much. Sometimes it's like if you're writing a book, you know, you're gonna write the details that are needed because people need that. You're writing a book. You know, when you're giving a short testimony, you give the overall. You learn how to flow with the information on how much time you have. You know, you put in there what you know how to do that.
I do. Okay. I was just, you know, wondering about the detail thing, you know, because you were saying that people need the process, so, you know.
Right, right. But we're also talking about the Word of God. I mean, it's one thing to give a testimony, and you're on TV, and you're spending millions of dollars paying for TV time, and, you know, if people really enjoy, you know, we invite you on. And you come on our television program and you got 5 minutes to tell a 5-hour story, you know, we get the 5-minute version out there and people go, man, I got to hear more about that. Does she have a book? And then you get them the book, which has all the details in it. But it's, yeah, the details, you know, the details I was talking about, as you know, were where David, you know, David, we learned the details about David, you know, how he started, you know, went from one process to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And then he lied about that. And then the prophet, and then the sword never left his house after that. So when you start seeing that process, you know, the process is important. And like I think a lot of people, like some of our leaders, I personally think, you know, I just use that as an example, Marcus and Joni Lamb. I think that you know, we all make mistakes, we all sin, we all fail, and I'd probably do the same thing if I was in their shoes. I don't know, but when you come through something, you just don't go, oh yeah, we got delivered to that. You know, from that horrible thing, you know, like, what was the process? You know, how did you, so that's what I'm talking about, yeah. People aren't telling the process because we don't want the gory details. We want the important times, the details of how you fell for it. you know, so that we can learn from it.
Okay. Like,
yeah,
like when he says he was looking across the balcony and he took it,
right.
But he didn't just look, he watched.
Right, exactly. And
he didn't look, he watched.
He watched, and he kept watching, and then he had his servants go and knock on her door. I mean, that was like, you know, and then he found out she was married, and he went ahead with it anyway. It's like, you know, one thing led to another, led to another, led to another. Yeah, so that's kind of the details, exactly.
Right. I got you now. I understand. I catch idea.
Yeah. You know, and you hear people talk about their, like, you know, I use this example with Marcus and Joni because, you know, I've given words about it and I've talked about it and I compare him to David, that he had a heart after God, and I'm not condemning him for anything. But the point is that, you know, as far as I know, they never, you know, nobody wants the gory details of how long you went to bed with them. You know, who cares about that? We're not talking about how long how long that going. We want to know what was the process of your thinking. You know, when you were hanging around her and she kept drawing you in, you know, how did you feel? What were you thinking? What was God trying to warn you about? Don't go have coffee with them in the coffee shop, you know, and shut the door and lock the door. You know what I'm saying? That process, so that we can teach people, just like David's story. If you read it and you look into it, it teaches you details, you know, of what he went through. And a lot of things, when you look at the prophets, this is all over the place, but let's look at an example of when Israel fell into sin. You know, Jeremiah warned them for years. He said, you're doing this, and now you're doing this. You're doing this, you went to doing that. Now you're compromising in this area. You compromise that area, then the whole thing. Before long, they were compromising with everything. And he kind of took them through the process of how they did it, you know, and how he warned them, you know, over and over again. And they didn't listen. And so eventually they had failure. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah, so there's different ways to look at process of how Israel sinned, how David sinned, you know, how anybody sinned, how, you know, I would sin. You know, you start warning people, you know, telling leaders, you know, be careful about, you know, some people just, They just want to test you just to see if you'll fall. They don't like you. They don't care about you. They'll just try to see if they can get you. That's all they're interested in. You know, they're not really interested in you as a person, and they do everything, you know, they can to try to get you to fall. And once they fall, then it's like, I gotcha. And that was the whole thing. And yet you could have been saved that and saved the sword coming to your ministry, into your business, to your life, to your family, by not going there.
It's an ounce of prevention versus the pound of cure that you need afterwards.
I love
that's
that.
Old country saying.
I love it.
You can have an ounce of prevention, or you can have a pound of cure.
That's good. I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's my grandma coming out of me.
You must have been quite
that's
a little lady.
That was old timers wisdom. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you, you don't ride on the devil's back without crawling under his belly.
That's pretty good.
Oh yeah.
I like it.
So, she had some good zingers.
Yeah, I remember one time you came on the show and you said something about, we were talking about listening to our elders that we think are just a bunch of legalistic people that like going out on dates, you know, like back in the old days, you dated in front of your, you know, you dated in front of the kinfolk, you know, you went, you know, walked with the whole family, you know, you didn't just go out by yourself and, you know, so I think, yeah, there's a lot of wisdom that we don't use today that, human nature is human nature. David's human nature, our human nature didn't get better with years. No, it's the same. And it'll respond the same. It'll do the same. And, you know, I mean, I've had some situations go on with me that, you know, in the last 10 years of things that, you know, people were acting crazy. And I'm going like, you know, so one of the things I learned is to document everything and record stuff. You know, if I think somebody's trying to play a game with me, I'll say, if I think they are, I'll say, oh, I'm going to record this. You know, and let's record the conversation because I don't have anybody with me. So let's record the conversation. So you learn little things to use. And then if they're trying to play a game with you, they won't want you to record it. And I don't want I said, well, I'm going to record it because, you know, I don't have anybody here with me to talk with you. I've literally done this on the phone. I've told people I'm going to record this conversation, you know, so that they don't go somewhere they're not supposed to go. You know,
right.
And there's little things that I've learned that, myself that keep me out of trouble, you know, and keep me from, even if I don't do anything, sometimes you can just make yourself look bad. You know, the Bible says abstain even from the appearance of evil, you know, and so I love people.
Oh, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:22. I can tell you that one. I wrote that one for 5,000 times.
Well, I wrote it for 10, so there.
I bet you your mama didn't make you write her 5,000 times of staying from all appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. I was in eighth grade.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Huh? That's a good one.
I had lots of my friends write some for me, too. It was a big project. I had other people learning that Bible verse, too.
Yeah,
I was just trying
one.
To get
that's
these
really
papers filled. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. And I've had to learn that myself. I don't know if I've always done it perfectly, but, you know, I love people. I like people. I didn't used to like people that well. And in the last, you know, 10 years, 20 years, you know, I actually enjoy people. I've learned to enjoy people. You know, like I was at the store today with a friend and we were doing some stuff and shopping, and this lady, you know, kind of got in my way a little bit, you know, and I went over to her and I said, you know what, you're messing with my space right now, and I giggled because she thought I was serious, you know. I said, I'm just kidding, you know. She looked at me like, oh, okay, I can do this, but you know, I just like people. I like to. I'm friendly. I enjoy people. I like to communicate with people, and so sometimes people take that wrong, and so you have to be careful. That you have to be careful about things. And yet I don't want to take away my fun. I like to have fun with people. I enjoy people, and I could make friends with anybody, you know, these days. I didn't used to be able to do that, but now I can be friends with anybody. And so when I started realizing I could do that, I had to start watching myself, you know, that, you know, to make sure that I, you know, do it the right way. And so it took me a while to learn that, But yeah, it's abstaining from the appearance of evil is a big one.
Yeah. I was a little girl, got in trouble, so my mama made me write it 5,000 times. My sister had to write it 500. She wasn't as much trouble as I was.
Oh, well, we want some details on this situation. I'm just kidding. Not really. No details. Give us some details.
Yeah.
Make this juicy. Come on, juice it up a little bit.
If the details would help you, Randy, I'd give them to you, but they were just really stupid, random things that happened, and my mama just overreacted and made me write a bunch of pages to her because I was suspended from school, so I should be doing something.
Oh, okay.
She sent me, I wrote them for her, though. So did a few of my friends in PE. Really, your mother's making you do this? Yeah, help me. So I remember sitting across and having about 4 or 5 friends helping me write it, you know, because it was all in print anyway. So, you know, you could be sloppy print, you know, just print it. We're just printing.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, pretty smart.
But anyway, huh?
Yeah, but yeah, and then we have to put it into action once we do it. But one thing good about that, you get that in your mind, you start thinking, oh yeah, the last time I did this kind of thing, I got in trouble, and maybe I should be more careful. That kind of makes you think a little bit.
I don't know. I think then I wasn't thinking. So I was just reacting out of chaos.
Yeah.
In a emotional, in a chaos.
Right, right.
And of course, your adults don't agree with the child of a mind, but the child of a mind can just say, "I'm right, y'all wrong." So,
yeah,
they were right, I was wrong, but at the time, I didn't see it.
Right. Well,
but
when
anyway.
You're a child, grown ups need to remember that when you're a child, we never can forget what manner of child we were, to understand how children think, we have to, help them know that they think differently. They think a child thinks like a child. When you're a child, you think like a child.
Right.
And every child thinks a little bit differently. Some are more than others at first, until they get some help.
Right. So, yeah, though I guess I wasn't very good at communicating.
Yeah.
So, which I still have issues with. So there you go. I need that, the coal off the altar, put on the tongue, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
Who was Jeremiah? Right. Wasn't that Jeremiah?
Somewhere in there, yeah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, yeah.
Isaiah, Jeremiah, one of the older prophets, Old Testament prophets. When I spoke in tongues, I read Acts like five times at a book on Acts before I could speak in tongues. Because I was raised Baptist, we didn't do that.
Right.
When you said you was going to study Acts, so that'd be good.
Yeah, I would like to study the book of Acts. I would like to do it in the light of what we're going to look forward to as the church in the midst of trouble. Kind of a thing of, because what's so cool about the book of Acts is that, we don't realize that the book of Acts is when the Jews had a Pentecost, I think 99% of those people in 120 were Jews, if not 100% of them. So they had their Pentecost, right? A very special outpouring, a very, very unique pouring of the Holy Spirit, the way the gifts poured out, tongues, fire. And so, a few days later, a few weeks later, however long it was, in Acts 10, eight chapters later, the Gentiles had the same exact same experience. And the Jews were the ones there preaching. They were not supposed to go eat with the Gentiles. They were invited to come eat, which broke the rule because Peter just had the dream, And then, long story short, what happened on that day was that the Jews realized for the first time that, hey, we're not so special, I mean, we're special, but they're special too. And so they had to realize that now the Gentiles had become special because they became in Christ. They got the Messiah. And now Jew and Gentile, there was no difference. And most people still haven't got over that yet. They read the future of the church, which is in the book of Revelation, and they think all that's about Jews. And when God says his people, he's not talking about the Jews anymore. After the day of Pentecost, especially after Jesus died on the cross, well, it was no longer Jews. It was anybody who received Christ. That was God's people. And so we got to, go through the book of Acts and kind of get up to speed on who God's people are now. Because when you think the word God's people, most people think Jews, right? That's what most people think. Well, not anymore. Now God's people are those who accept Christ, Jew and Gentile. And if you haven't accepted Christ, you're not God's people anymore, so to speak. I mean, not that they weren't of old, but now everything changed. Now being God's people has a different stamp of approval on it. It's called the stamp of the approval of Jesus only. and only Jesus.
I understand.
And I think our whole interpretation of the book of Revelation, some of it, not the whole thing, but a lot of it is messed up because we're still interpreting it according to the old. You know, I think some of it is speaking about the Jews, but not near as much as people think. And so I think that we need to get a hold of that and interpret the future according to what happened in the past, and that is when Christ died on the cross, and especially in the book of Acts, when the Jews and the Gentiles had the exact same experience. That was amazing. Peter says, man, this is what was so amazing about this. He said, man, these Gentiles have received exactly what we did. And it blew his mind. It blew his mind because he realized they weren't circumcised, right? That's why God sent them, because they weren't circumcised like the Jews were. They didn't eat right. They probably were eating, you know, like us talking the other night, eating ham. They probably did a ham on there. Or maybe for Peter, maybe if they knew Peter was coming, they might have had some lamb on there. But they probably had some lamb with some lamb and ham, you know. And so they're going like, you know, Peter's eating with Gentiles. He's not even supposed to go in their house. He's in their house, and he's preaching to them. And all of a sudden, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. They hadn't been baptized in water. They haven't been converted to Judaism. They haven't been circumcised. Nothing. And all of a sudden, something brand new happened. And so most people forget about that, Angie, that changed everything. That was the proof that everything had changed. That was the proof in the pudding. And God did it before Jews who were good Jews. Peter was a good Jew. When God said, eat some, when he dropped down his sheets from heaven, God's sheets came down from heaven. And he said, eat this. He said, no, I don't ever eat that. God, you know I don't eat any of that stuff. That's Gentile stuff. He said, don't ever call unclean what I call clean. And so God was trying to say, y'all, it's over. We got a whole new thing going on here. And we'll always honor the Jewish people. Of course, how can we not? Jesus is going to live in Jerusalem. You know, there's going to be, but the people now, they're going to be the people of God. They're not going to be good Jews. They're going to be good Jesus people, born again Jesus people, not Jews, not Gentiles. The people of God are now Jesus people. And so, anyway, so the whole book of Acts kind of really opens up the new gospel that Paul was preaching. That he said, if you don't believe in my gospel, you're cursed. That gospel that Paul was preaching was a whole different gospel than anybody. It was the mystery that was unraveled, like he says. He calls it the mystery of the gospel, and that's what it was. And most people still don't got it. They're still mixed. They still call God's people Jews. And, you know, according to what Jesus did, you know, Jesus is the one that changed that, not me. Jesus changed that. He said, when you accept me, you're a whole new creature. You're no longer a Jew and no longer a Gentile. And then Paul confirmed all that by saying, you know, you're not Jew or Gentile in Christ Jesus. And people still don't got it. They still don't got it. They're still trying to be a Jew. They're still trying to wear Jewish culture stuff, which is cool. It's all cool. But, you know, they're trying to identify with a Jew. And instead of, we just need to identify with Jesus, who was, didn't have no Jewish blood. He was completely, fully Jewish in culture from his mama. He was completely Jewish in the natural, but not his blood. His blood was not Jewish at all. But he was still Jewish, completely Jewish, connected to his mama in the throne of David, in the seed of David, and all that. So it's all a good mixture, and we need to understand it all and get it straight.
Well, you know, when a woman carries a baby, that part of that baby's the blood of the reason the conspiracy theory around the princess of England was that she was carrying a baby. Have you heard that story or this theory?
Yeah, a little bit.
And that it that part of the blood mix, part of the baby's blood mixes with the mother. Just like let me put it a different way. If you have a purebred dog and your dog female dog gets mixed with a mutt, she no longer produces purebred pups.
Did you know that? Even if she had, no, I didn't know that. So she, let me ask you this. Let's make it real plain. So once she breeds with a mutt, and she's not a purebred, even after she has mates with a purebred, after that she's no longer purebred.
Well, that's according to the upper echelon breeders, yes. Now, if you get your lower level, you're not. But the upper echelon, the elitist, no. And I think scientifically I read, it's been a long time, but that it does, in other words, every child at birth after that carries a little bit of that blood in it. You know, the child, you know what I'm saying? So I'll have to look it back up scientifically, but my understanding is that it creates a mix of blood.
So in other words, once the dog has been bred with a mutt, then that mutt's seed gets into that womb and produces something, and it changes her blood.
That blood, yeah, it. Any puppies born after that has some of that, will have a taint of that blood, yes. That's my understanding.
Because that blood changes the female dog's blood once they have a child, once they have babies.
Well, when a woman carries a baby, a lot of times if she's had any health issues or what have you while she's carrying that baby, she'll go into remission. Because that baby does repairs with its blood to her blood.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's a deep subject. It's really cool to find out about
it
that.
It is a deep subject. I mean, I don't know why I thought of that, but it was kind of crazy, and it just kind of came in. Because, you know, Mary was a virgin. Jesus was her firstborn, but all of the descendants that she carried after that, and from Joseph, all of his brothers and siblings had some of the God DNA in them. I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't see that. But it's possible. I don't know enough to argue that. Like an attorney.
I don't know either. That's why I was asking. That's what I was thinking. So, you know, that Mary, you know, that somehow or another by scientific, maybe that's why they, you know, I was just trying to figure out some stuff. I went on a rabbit trail with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that. But it could be right, but I don't see how that could be. But it's possible. It's to be interesting to find out.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna look it up when I get off. Yeah, I'm gonna look it up and see if that's true.
I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right, but it's possible. Anything's possible, but no. I would like to check everything. That's why I don't like. I'd actually be really careful what we share. You know, as far as saying this is it for sure. But
well,
we're not
I just
saying
know
it
that
right
about.
Now.
I know that about breeding because that's why they protect you know the animals from getting mixed.
And so there may be something to it. You may not be explaining it right, but it may be something, maybe affecting them somehow or another. It'd be awesome to find out about it. It'd be really cool.
Yeah. Maybe it's just some of their DNA. Maybe it's not so much blood as DNA, which I don't know, how to split it down. But I'll look it up again. I'll go look it up and read it.
I don't know anything, but we'll find out for sure. Something to look into.
Yeah. Mhm. I got random information. That's crazy. But anyway, yeah.
I don't see how the DNA of God could get into her other children, and they turned out to be such little rascals, unbelievers. I don't know, but that doesn't really mean anything either. So it'd be interesting to find out what they say about that and check it out.
Well, wasn't John the Revelator of Jesus' brother?
Yeah, but he had some brothers too who didn't believe in him. You know.
Oh yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, his brothers.
Yeah,
mocked him.
I know he had other brothers and sisters, but John was one of his revelators, and you know, I figured he must have gotten a little something extra special because he, you know, dipped in oil and boiled and you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. That sounds really cool, but I don't know. I wouldn't say publicly that for sure, but interesting.
I'll look it up. I'll let you know.
All right.
I'll go on that rabbit trail and hunt that rabbit.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I like interesting stuff like that. The DNA realm is really, deep well. So I think there's probably a lot of things that we don't know. But if those breeders say that, there may be something to it, but it may not be what you're saying. It could be, but I don't know. We'll definitely find out about that.
Well, it could be how they keep their dogs being elite. You know what I mean? I don't know. So I'll look it up. But I read it in a scientific thing too. So somehow
okay.
Now that made a little sense about they didn't want the royal lineage painted.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Okay, all right, good. All right, let's go past that. All right, cool. We'll find out about that and report on that hopefully soon. That would be really awesome to know. Be something to think about for sure. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you need to pray about? Anything else you want to talk about? Anything? What else is going on?
Well, I really need some sense of some direction or something. I don't know. I need a passion. You know, the Bible says you perish without a vision. I don't have a vision. And I keep trying.
Yeah. Right.
You know, because a lot of things, a lot of things have ended, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so in other
gone
words,
through
you're not
I've gone through a lot
lady.
Of endings. I just don't know what to start.
Yeah, so you're not working on that lady anymore. So that kind of like
drop me right back down to.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So that's really cool. All right, we can pray about that for sure. Because one thing leads to another. Usually, you know. So one thing we learn. One thing I tell people all the time is that. In many areas with God, you take something you learn and you learn all of it, all that you can. And until you learn all of it, you're not going to move on to the next thing because moving on to the next thing comes from what you learned from that last thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the experience you had with her, like the experience you had before that with other situations, you know, if we don't learn from those things, and I'll say when we learn from those things, those things become the step for the next thing. In other words, they open up, like one revelation with me, when I get the revelation that, let's say, for example, when the Jews had to kill Jesus, nobody else could kill him. You know, when I get that revelation and how much it was God, and God had, you know, even the high priest prophesied that we're going to kill Jesus, we're going to offer him up. You know, the high priests were the only ones that could offer up the lamb. You know, so when I started seeing that, I've never heard that before from anybody. That was a brand new thing for me. And so when I got a hold of that, that one revelation led me to another revelation that leads me to another revelation, leads me to another one. So it's like, so I had to keep chewing at it. And the more I chewed it and thought about it and meditated on it, then it moved me on to my next understanding, you know, about the Jewish realm and why God had to have the Jews crucify him, that it wasn't a bad thing. It was a God thing. Only they could. That's why they were driven to have him crucified, because they were the only ones that could do it before God and do it as according to his order, you know. And so that was a new thing for me. And then when I got a hold of that, that led me to other things. So every time we go through a circumstance or situation, whatever we learn from that is what takes us to our next thing. So ask God if you've learned everything you need to learn from it. And you probably have. Maybe if you have, you haven't. We can, you know, God can finish you up on it. So that can, you know, takes you to the next level of where you're supposed to go.
Yeah. I'm gonna still study the different plants and stuff, you know,
right.
And the oils. I've seen what they do, you know, so.
Yeah, we had a situation where I've had a situation in the last few months to where we're dealing with, you know, I'm dealing with some people that have some really major things going on, and I've never really done that. We've never been that close to it before, never dealt with it, you know. And, man, we found out that carrot juice, believe it or not, carrot juice, not even organic carrots, these people had cancer and had cancerous tumors that were cancerous. And they went, and all they did, they didn't get nothing else. They didn't do nothing else. They went, and they started having, they tried a couple of 8 ounces glasses of fresh carrot juice every day, and it stopped the growth of them. But the only thing that caused the growth to go, to shrink and go away was 5 8-ounce glasses of carrot juice every day. And when they did that, the cancers and the tumors went away completely, gone. And they were on their way to their deathbed. I mean, girl, one, you know, I mean, that's just one of many things. You know, I've been into this realm too where, you know, where, you know, I'm going to teach on it some night about the Garden of Eden and how that Adam and Eve had glorified bodies, but God told them to, they ate herbs. Now, why would you, if you had a perfect body, why would you need to eat anything? You know, I think we think glorified people with glorified bodies, you know, they don't have to eat, man. They got glorified bodies. They eat Jesus, you know, they eat the spirit. They drink the spirit. You know, they don't need food. But when I started looking at that and started asking questions, why did you get people who were perfect and never sinned and had glorified bodies, why did you have them eat herbs? You know, like that's the fruit. They ate fruits and herbs and the veggie thing. You know,
right.
They didn't really eat meat. Yeah. Why did you, if you had a perfect glorified body, why did they do this? So I started asking God that, and, man, the answer he gave me blew my mind. I mean, it just blew my mind. And so I haven't taught on it yet, but man, the answer to it answered several questions, major questions that people have with biblical things and being hyper spiritual and the whole thing. I mean, it just, I shared it with a couple of people, right, that are into this stuff, and they go,
uh-huh.
and they were shocked. They went, you know, oh my God, like, thank you, Jesus. And without me even telling them what I learned, they caught it. They said, that means this, and this means that. And I said, you got it. You got it. That's exactly right. And they said, oh, my gosh, Randy, that answers some major, major questions with some things. And I'm going like, yeah. I mean, it blew my mind when I asked a simple question. God, why did glorified people have to eat it? You know, Jesus ate fish, right, with a glorified body, right? He ate. He showed them. The Bible says he showed them that he – you know, that he was a physical human being because he ate fish in front of him with a glorified body. He had a glorified body. And
Right.
And he was eating. So when I started, oh, girl, wait till I share this thing. It revolutionized the way I think on. It answered questions that I had given answers to people about things. It answered questions, but I didn't have any basis for it. I didn't have a direct Genesis origin answer for it, if you know what I'm saying, from the origin, from the beginning.
Right.
And when I got that, man, it just like bing, 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 answered every other question that I had about stuff. So I'm going to teach on it maybe soon. I hope God will let me teach on it. But it's powerful, man. Simple and yet. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's exciting. I'll be looking for that.
Yeah.
For
yeah,
all the commitments. Because I'm trying to string the pearls. you know, precept upon precept, trying to get the pearls. You know, so far my necklace isn't looking all that good.
Me too. I know I can relate to that one. Yeah, it's, listen, man, some of the stuff I got on that, I'm gonna make a note right now. Hang on a second. I'm going to put that at the top of my notes so that I can maybe, I might teach it tomorrow night, maybe, it depends. I got so much I want to share. Hang on a second. I'm making a note here. Yeah, you got to hear this, man. It just blew my. It answered so many questions for me. Things I was upset at Christians. You know, why do you think like that? You know, one of those kind of things. Like I get ticked off. You know, like I can't believe. You know, I mean, I understand it, but I can't explain it to people because I don't have any origin scriptures for it. You know, original from the origin, from the Word of God, and from the beginning. So when I started, so it's amazing how God answers my questions by having me ask. He has me ask questions that I'm thinking, why would I even ask, why did you have them do that for? Like, duh, well, because they were hungry, you know. But it's like, you know, but that wasn't enough for me. I said, no, there's something else. What is the answer? Why did you have them do that? What was up with that? And, man, and it answered questions that we deal with today in the Word of God. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. So, yeah, I hope you'll be on. If not, if you call and say, did you teach on that? I go, yeah, and give you the show, you can look it up. But it's pretty cool. Really answered some major.
You gonna preach on it tomorrow night, maybe?
I don't know
what you said.
I'm making a note
about
it.
You never know
what happens.
You don't know what you're gonna preach on tomorrow night, do you, Randy?
I don't.
Tell me the truth.
Most of the time, I don't. Every once in a while, he'll tell me, you know, I want you to share this, you know, get this out there soon. Like I had some things about political stuff, but I had a panoramic dream about a political situation that, you know, is now going to be in the news for the next 2 years, you know, at least. And he gave me an answer to it, and so I know, I already know what's going to happen before it happens. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, and they're going to make a really big deal out of this thing. And I wanted to talk about that tonight, but I didn't get around to it. So maybe that'll be tomorrow night, and maybe we'll talk about that and this too. I don't know. We will see. Also, I can't wait
to
get it out.
Tune in tomorrow. That's right. You got to keep the cliffhangers going, Randy. That keeps them coming back. Keeps them coming back. That's what makes the sequels good.
Okay. Like all right, girl.
Yeah, God, that's what keeps us all coming back. God's full of sequels, isn't he? And the next chapter will be.
Yeah.
Let's see how they get out of this one.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, the thing with the Antichrist went on for a long time, and I think I had people, not you or other people, that said, I think you're playing a game with this Antichrist name thing, and I honest to God wasn't playing a game with it. You know, I said I know it looks like it, but I'm really not playing a game with it. It's all about timing. You know, and so. So you do struggle, you do deal with that sometimes, of people thinking you're playing games with it. And not that you're saying that, but I'm just saying people have, you know, when you talk about something for 12 years, people go, you're playing a game with it. You know, I'm going like, I know it looks like it. It does look like it, but I honestly, God, I'm not doing it. And so the date that we gave that, what's amazing about that is the date that we gave that information finally on September the 12th, you know, and then what happened right after that? 5 red heifers show up in Israel. I mean, you talk about timing. And the way God had me, you know, say, I want you to share that Monday, I'm going like, okay, you know, Monday, you know, all right, Monday. So I did it on Monday, you know, and just so happened the whole world found out that 3 days after that, you know, 5 red heifers showed up in Israel, you know, and with the priest that already inspected them, found out that at least at this point, they're good. They're good red heifers. All 5 of them are good. So, you know, you realize that timing with doing things is important. The timing that we share them, if I'd have shared that a month before or even a week before, it wouldn't have meant as much, you know, but it was done, you know, and then 3 days later, you know, boom. So anyway, it's pretty interesting how that timing thing works with how we, the timing that we give information. So that's the struggle that I battle with is, do I share this thing about the herb and the glorified body thing? Do I do that now, God, or when do you want to do it? And like, there is a timing involved in all of it.
Right. So I understand that. People have to be open to receive, too. So it is about timing. You can be out of sync and out of time.
And I've never really been good with timing. It has to be the grace of God. If I do it right, it's just pure grace. I guarantee it. It's pure grace all the way. Anyway.
Gotta love it. We all survive off of it. Mercy, goodness and mercy and grace follow us.
Yeah.
It leads us.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray for you about your situation.
Okay.
Let's pray about. Okay. Let's do that. All right. I'm gonna mute you just for a second. I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to mute you now. All right, and thanks for being with us tonight. Enjoyed it. All right, thank you, Jesus, for the word of the Lord tonight. God, we thank you, Father, for timing. We thank you for all those things you help us with when we don't know what to do and how to do it. And, you know, we come under pressure from people and from ourselves. And God, you're just there to graciously help us to make the right decisions at the right time, at the right place. And God, I thank you for that. When you do that, it's so awesome. It's so amazing. It's so beautiful. And I thank you, Jesus, for doing that for your people tonight, God. Amen. For Angie, God. And this whole thing, really, I got on. That's why I brought it up with you tonight, because the thing I got, I think that you will get something out of it for your own understanding of where you're at with stuff. I think this could be. Could be something really big for you. I don't know. Every person is different, but it just, I was just astounded by it personally. But I'm really involved in things, you know, so I can't tell how much people are involved in stuff, but I'm really involved in some things, and I really look hard for answers. So when I find one, it may not mean anything to 99 people and mean everything to one person. So you never know what things are going to mean for people, but I think this is something for everybody, but especially I think in where you're at with things, God's really could possibly use us to, you know, confirm things for you or bless you or something. But thank you, Lord. We just thank you, God, that we need things that bless us and make money. You know, we need to make a living, need that money coming in, and God, you give us things and you reward us for it. Angie wants to walk in the things that you reward her for, not just to, like, you know, give her a handout, right? Thank God for handouts when we need them. Thank God. But it's so much better to be a reward. A reward is something we get from obeying God. You know, and the reward system is what I thank you, Jesus, for showing her how to tap into that more and more all the time. The rewards come. Rewards are not handouts. Rewards are things that we get as a reward for doing what God says. In other words, he rewards you for what you did that he told you to do, or he drew you to do, or he ask you to do whatever. And so rewards are not handouts. Rewards are blessings. Rewards are things that we get because God said do this, we did it, and he goes, you know, here you go, I'm going to reward you. This is to produce more of my will. Rewards are for one reason, and that's to do more of God's will. If we get financial rewards from something we did, when we obey God and we get rewarded with that, we gave $500 or something, and we get $50,000 back, you know, it's like that reward's for what? For us to hide it in the backyard and keep it for ourselves? No, it's to invest it, it's to use it, it's to give it away with God. It's to do whatever to increase, you know, your vision, your purpose. In other words, you go from doing, you know, a little bit of business to doing a lot more business because you got that reward. So the rewards come in to help us do the will of God more. It's to increase the will of God. Most people do not understand rewards. And God's just recently been showing me. And so it's really amazing. But thank you, Lord, for that reward system and helping her to tap into that, Jesus.
where it's not just handouts that we need from people. Like, we all need handouts sometimes. We all go through battles. We need a handout every once in a while. Man, to live off handouts, I don't want to do that. I don't know about, I don't know anybody who wants to do that. We all want to live off the rewards from doing the will of the Father. Amen. That's the highest level of blessing, is living from, you know, we live in obedience. We got blesses us for just doing, then he rewards us. It's the way we increase and multiply. Hallelujah. Ever increasing, ever multiplying, never stopping. He's always rewarding us. Rewards are for doing more. We're doing 20% now. Now we can do 30% or 40% of the will of God. We can increase and multiply. Thank you, Lord, for bringing her into that. Open her up to that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 251-229. Anyone talk to her friend, please?
This is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. All right, Sarah, let's pray for you. I'm going to meet you for a second there. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for opening up her heart, God, to the spirit of freedom, the spirit of liberty, to being free and being liberated. God, you're opening up her to what true liberty is. Liberty is many different things. It's not just spiritual liberty, but it's financial liberty. It's the ability to, when you're doing what makes you happy, you know, whether that's, you know, working at a grocery store, bagging groceries, or, you know, working at a clothing store, bagging, you know, multi-million-dollar clothes into a bag, and, you know, whatever makes you happy. That's what the blessing is. That's what liberty is. That's what freedom is. Freedom is happiness. And when you're doing something and you enjoy it and you love it, and when you love it and you're doing it, that's freedom. It doesn't matter if you're not making hard. If you enjoy doing something, making $5 an hour, and you love it, you're enjoying your life, everything's good about it. And yeah, hallelujah, that's freedom. That's freedom. That's liberty. So I thank you, Jesus, for that and for her life, God, for opening her up to that and showing her what true freedom, what true liberty is literally like. I love doing PGN. I love doing this stuff. You know, I love it. And I don't make myself do it. Sometimes I do have struggles and battles where I, you know, make myself, you know, I discipline myself. But it doesn't take that much. It takes a lot more discipline to keep doing things when you don't enjoy it, right? Yeah, when you don't enjoy it. It takes a lot more discipline when you don't enjoy it. But it takes very little discipline to do things when you enjoy it and love it. So thank you, Lord, for bringing her into that place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Sarah, what's happening tonight? How are you?
Well, I'm blessed. I was talking to my daughter, Leah, before we got started, and, I'm working a job now at a clothing store, and I, not complaining or anything, you know, due to the holidays, I was really wondering if I should, my needs were just, I don't know, they're just like wanting to give in, and I'm like, Lord, should I continue?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like they want to, unless I take, you know, some pain medicine or something like that, they feel like they really want to play a massive part in my needs, actually, and to getting well, and it's like I need rest for them to get well before I go on to another shift. So I was just kind of like wanting to know, just get prayer. As far as should I go on with this job or go on to something that's going to be, you know, full of happiness and joy.
Right. Well, you know, it's, and no matter what you're doing, if you're not feeling good, you're not going to be happy with that. Or at least I'm not. when I'm not feeling well, I'm not happy. Happiness is part of being, you know, it's not, we're not talking about, as you know, we're not talking about worldly happiness. We're talking about godly happiness. You know that as well as I know that. I'll make that clear because other people listening. Oh, what you, we don't be happy. You know, we need to be joyful, not happy. It's about the same thing, okay? So get off the hyper-spiritual thing, and we're talking about happy, being joyful, enjoying things. And, we learn to, your knees, is it pain or is it weakness? Is it like sharp pain, a little bit of pain? Is it just weak?
It's pain. It's pretty much, you know, it feels like they're gonna I have one knee that's like bone on bone, which, you know, I'm like, I believe the Lord can heal it. So I'm not, you know, I'm working on fitness and, you know, losing the weight and everything that God wants us to do, because he wants us to be healthy.
Right.
And so, with me, I like the job. I like what I'm doing. But my knees are saying, no way. I mean, it's like they're wanting to crack. Give in, if you will. So,
how long has that been going on? How long has that been going on?
This has been going on and off for about a month.
Okay.
I've been kind of putting up with it and saying, no, I'm going to keep going on. I'm going to keep going on.
Hey, how do you know? How do you know? Let me ask some questions and just answer them as quick as you can. How do you know that you're bone on bone with your knee? How do you know that?
I can feel it.
Okay. So you feel the bone on bone. Okay. But you don't know that it's bone on bone, but that's what it feels like. Is that right?
Yeah, and the doctor x-rayed it.
Okay, you haven't had an x-ray then. Okay, so you've had an x-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know it's bone on bone because you had an x-ray.
Right.
Okay, so that's different. That's why I was asking you, how do you know it's bone on bone? Right, so you've had an x-ray. Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. So you know that for sure. That is an x-ray, and he said, and he told you you're going bone on bone. Or getting close to it. Okay.
Yes, and he asked me, did I want a knee replacement? And I would rather do things the healthy way instead of getting a knee replacement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I went ahead and took this job and, you know, was like, well, let me try it. And then I'm going to try losing the weight to go along with it. Well, this is Christmas and Thanksgiving and all those good times. And
right.
I'll be on my feet like about 6-7 hours, and then the next day I'll feel it. So
right,
like,
right. The
Lord.
Next day you feel it. All right. So yeah, and I know being overweight, that's what it does for me. When I'm overweight, I'm a little bit overweight right now. I'm about 240. I'm usually about 225. You know, and I go in and out, you know, off and on I gain. So I've gained, you know, I'm about 240 right now, 237, 238, 240, somewhere there. Which when I'm 240, that's, you know, about 20 pounds over. So when I do that, I have all kinds of problems. And so sometimes losing weight takes care of it. In fact, every time losing weight with me takes care of it. But I don't have an x-ray from a doctor. I don't know that I have knee issues where the doctor is, I've never had an x-ray on my knee because I've hurt my knees before playing ball, you know, before. I've hurt my knees a few times, but I've never had an x-ray showing that it's bone to bone. So I can't say that, but when I lose weight, my knees don't quit bothering me, you know, but that's me. So I don't know what your situation is exactly. So that's why I'm asking, you know, specific questions, but either way, we can believe God for a miracle, but, you know, at the same time, you know, like with me, if I start having problems, you know, it really encourages me to lose weight, you know, lose my 20 pounds, because that 20 pounds, you know, puts a lot of pressure on those bones, you know, and so that could be part of the deal, but either way, you know, like Nikki from Florida called me one night, Sarah, and she said, Randy, I mean, she was like really hurting, and you could tell she was like not panicking, but like, and she was having a hard time. She said, you gotta pray for me, man. I said, what's going on? She said, man, my knees, I think it was her knees, her arm or something, her elbows. I think it was her knees. I can't remember exactly, but she said, you know, I just like, man, I got arthritis or something. It's like really messing with me. I've had a sharp pain in my, and all of a sudden I just started talking about, well, you know, God started telling me to quit eating so much Mexican sauce. You know, go to the Mexican food store, go to the store, go to the restaurant, and eat a lot of salsa. And I said, the Lord told me to quit eating so much salsa because it was causing me arthritis. And I just started talking about that. I didn't pray for healing, you know, sad to say. I just started talking this thing about, well, you know, I don't know. I just telling her about my little testimony about when I quit eating so much salsa that my arthritis went away, you know. And she said, Randy, you're not going to believe this. She said, my daughter just started working at a Mexican food restaurant, and we've been drinking salsa like it's the last thing on the earth, like bunches of it. And I go, well, there's your problem right there, you know. So it wasn't a healing thing for her. It was more of a food thing. With her, it was like I didn't know she'd been doing that. I didn't know her daughter got a job at a Mexican food restaurant, and they've been drinking salsa like drinking water. I didn't know that, right? I didn't have a clue. And she says, man, so, you know, so I guess it all went away because she never said anything about it again. So you never know what the problem is, you know. That's why I never just talk the same old talk with people. Sometimes I start asking questions, and God gives me word of knowledge questions, you know. Like sometimes my question will be from a word of knowledge, you know, from the gifts of the Spirit. And so that's why I ask you those questions. But either way, you know, we believe God to heal. But if it's something you're eating, I don't know, it may not be anything you're eating. Like with her and me, it was salsa. I mean, my bones, within 15 minutes after I eat salsa, my bones would be killing me, man. I'm going like, oh, my God, I had knives sticking in my bones. That's how bad it hurt. Oh, wow, I think I got arthritis again. Oh, God, help me. And I don't like pain, girl. I do not like pain at all. And I'm a sissy when it comes to pain. I go, I can't handle this stuff. And the Lord says, you know, and long story short, he said, this is a salsa. You're having too much vinegar. You have too much salsa. And I went, what? Yeah, cut down on the salsa. I cut down on the salsa, went away right away. Just like that. It's amazing. So I don't know if that's maybe a help, if that'll help you that or not. Maybe it may have anything to do with it. But either way, we're going to pray for healing for you for sure. All right. Hello?
Well, Prophet Randy.
Yeah.
Prophet Randy. Well, that's amazing,
yeah.
Because... when I eat, it's like I'm eating.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. Your phone is messing up. So if you can adjust your phone, whatever you did, now I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
That's a little better. Yes, thank you.
Okay. When my daughter and I are in the morning, you know, eating egg burritos for breakfast,
yeah.
Like a breakfast burrito,
I put
salsa on it.
Oh no! Well, do you have pickles? Do you eat pickles or anything? What else do you have that has vinegar in it, or like a, you know, like pickles? Like I had a friend who had ate pickles and it gave him arthritis. Anything like that? Like jalapenos? If you have jalapenos that are dipped in vinegar, sometimes that if you have too much of that, it can mess with it. You might try stopping it for a few days and see what happens.
Well, I'm drinking vinegar with the mother in it so I can lose weight. And maybe that's what went, and I was drinking a lot of it.
Yeah,
so,
that's it.
My choice.
Vinegar will do it for you. Yeah, vinegar's good for you, good for some people. It's not people who have bone issues. When I drink vinegar, that's why I ask you that, because when I drink vinegar, I have bone ache. I have arthritis. It's not that way with everybody, but yeah, so... you might cut down on that quite a bit.
That could be it, because I was drinking a lot of it so I can lose the weight.
Right.
And I'm like, this is the
right
answer.
Well, I'm sorry. You might just experiment with it. Experiment with it and see. Don't have any for any salsa. You know, I still have a little bit of salsa. I just quit eating so much of it. Like, I was eating a lot. I love salsa, right? I love salsa. So we just, you know, like eating salsa with chips and then putting salsa on everything and just loving it, walking out. And 30 minutes later, man, my bones are aching like, I mean, I'm talking about aching. My achy, breaky heart. That's my achy, breaky bones. I'm going, oh, no. I got arthritis. And that's all it was, vinegar. Too much of it.
Yeah, and my daughter, she's got, you know, really like an upset stomach. So we're dealing with, and I'm thinking maybe it's the change of weather with, for the most of it, part of it. You know, and when you deal with change of weather, your body kind of has to adjust to the change. So, and so I didn't want to pour anything off on you tonight, but we just wanted prayer. Because I was wondering, I was like, Lord, should I go back to that job or should I not? Because it was so bad.
but if you're aching because of the if you enjoy your job and you know enough to where you you know like doing it and then I would try first you know unless you just want to get to leave your job you can do whatever you want but I think if you that the pain is not a good sign to leave your job to me that the sign of that is you need to quit drinking so much vinegar kind of like with me you know same thing. Yeah, I mean, I have a little bit of it, but when I every time I have too much, every time to this day, if I have a little bit too much, I can always tell because my bones start hurting. And that's just with me. That may not be with everybody, but obviously you have the same kind of, you know, Nikki had the same problem. She was drinking that salsa, and she said it was the best salsa. That's the best salsa we've ever had. She was drinking it down, man. And she said, my bones are killing me. I said, well, I didn't even pray for her. I didn't pray healing. All of a sudden, I just said, you know what? I don't know. I got to tell you this little story about salsa, and it just happened to be what she was doing. Yeah, it was so funny.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna keep it, and then to just see, you know, if that's it, or you know, and also if you would pray with me for that and getting better on that one, and also for Leah.
All right.
Just her health and wellness, because I believe, you know, she's wanting to finish up nursing and things of that nature. So really just continue to pray for her and schooling as well as her health as well.
Okay. Right. And the eating, I tell you what, you know, people don't realize it, but food and I'm talking about from years of experience, and I don't talk this stuff just to be talking it, just to have something to talk about. When I talk about something, if you know, especially as a prophet and as God guides me to help people, it's usually a reason for it. And so I've learned a lot of different things over the years. I've had God heal me. I've had God bless me. I've had God do things for me. And also he says, yeah, Randy, if you quit eating that, you won't have that. You won't need a miracle anymore. I'm going like, really? Yeah. So I quit eating it. I don't need a miracle anymore. You know, I'm healed, you know, all because I quit eating certain things. So sometimes certain foods don't go well with our bodies because not because we have bad bodies, because sometimes our blood, you know, like some people have blood types, they need to eat more fish than they need to eat, you know, they eat too much red meat maybe. But if your blood allows you, your blood type allows you to eat more red meat, then you're fine. Your stomach will digest it properly. But if you're eating stuff that your blood system, you know, everybody's blood type will kind of tell you what you can eat, and it people have really criticized that teaching, but it's a good teaching, and it really is good. And so so you might have her, you know, test. Sometimes you can just test it and see. Eat if she's eating too much of one thing, have her eat something like, you know, the opposite, like fish or chicken. Or something less, you know, harder to digest and see. It doesn't mean that she has a bad stomach. It just could be that her blood system doesn't allow her digestive system to work for certain things. You know, so it's not like she has a bad body. It's just that her body is different. So people have to realize that. They think, oh, no, I've got a bad stomach problem. No, you may just be, you know, your body's not made to digest so much red meat. Thank God mine is. I can eat a lot of red meat, and I'm fine. But some people can't do it because it messes up their stomach. So we thank you, Lord, for Sarah. We thank you for Leah, God. We thank you. I'm going to mute you real quick so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah, for being with us. Thank you for Leah, Jesus, my sweet, precious Leah, God. We ask you to touch her, God. And or just teach her about it. Just teach us about our bodies. Teach us about our bodies. And let us listen to the scientists that truly have God in their heart. And they're really trying to help us understand our bodies because God made our bodies. That's what true scientists, true doctors are interested in how our bodies work, not just trying to get us on medication and drugs and pharmaceuticals. That's the new wolves in sheep clothing. We got doctors that all they're interested in is getting us drugs. And all you're interested in, God, is trying to help us bring doctors and scientists and people who can help us understand the way God made our bodies, so we can understand that everybody's body's a little bit different, and they digest food even a little bit differently. I mean, their body's wrong or bad. It just means that it just works differently. So teach them that, God. Show them that. Open them up to that. And let them learn to experiment and test and see what works and what doesn't work. In Jesus' name. And do away with that salsa and the vinegar and watch that pain go away, man. I'm telling you, it will go away. It'll go away pretty quick. Like, if it didn't go away in a couple of days, then, you know, this. But I guarantee you, it will do it if it's the problem. It will do it. It happens with me to this day, you know. You know, if I try to have arthritis in my right hand and my left hand or whatever, and I'm going like, yeah, okay, be careful because you've been eating too much of this with vinegar in it. Too many jalapenos with soaked in vinegar, and I still eat them, but I just don't eat very many of them. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. We don't have to stop everything. We find the balance of what we do and everything. Teach us the balance, God, of what to eat, how much to eat, what's healthy for us and what's not healthy for us. We go beyond this point, we mess our body up. So we thank you, Jesus, for helping us to lose weight. God, help me to lose weight. Help Sarah to lose weight. Help us find ways, the little things that we can do. But sometimes it's one little thing, Sarah, that makes you gain weight. You know, something like doing things at night. Like usually when I gain weight, it's because I do things at night. I work late. You know, like here on the show late, I'm up till 1, 2 o'clock, you know. And sometimes if I put something in my stomach that, like even pomegranate juice, and it's sweet and it's sugary, you know, and sometimes it makes me, you know, makes me fat, you know. I have to stop doing it late at night and do it during the day, and where I'm getting plenty of pomegranate juice and without doing it late at night, because late at night it turns to fat, right? So sometimes it's just little changes. Sometimes I drink a little bit of pomegranate juice at night. I just don't drink, you know, a whole glass full. But thank you, Jesus, for that. Teach them your ways, God. Show them your ways. Show them what functions properly. That it's not just all in Jesus' name, but Jesus' name sometimes gives us answers to natural things. Like, in Jesus' name led me not to eat, you know, so much salsa and vinegar. That was in Jesus' name answer to my healing. All right? Oh, God, heal me of this arthritis in Jesus' name. And I keep eating. You know, he says, well, stop eating so much salsa and you'll be fine. And I keep eating salsa. I keep crying, oh, God, heal me. Quit eating salsa, Randy. Oh, God, please heal me. And I just ignore his voice. Right? You know, he said, what's causing the problem? It's too much salsa. Okay. Quit eating salsa. I'm healed. It all happened in Jesus' name. It's just a little bit different way than people think. So thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, give us answers, God. Give us the whole counsel of God. Amen. We don't just get this religious idea. We can eat anything we want, do anything we want. And spiritually speaking, we can. We can eat pig. We can eat anything we want. And with God, and we're no longer in the law. It does not affect us in our relationship with God, but we just die sooner. That's the only thing bad about it. It takes us to our grave quicker. So God doesn't hold us against us. It's just that he says, man, I had more for you to do, and you know, you killed yourself by eating too much, whatever it is. So find a balance, and don't have to just jump whole hog and doing everything. Find the things that mess with you. Experiment. Find them. And deal with it, and deal with it little by little at a time, where you don't overwhelm yourself. In Jesus' name. And Jesus' name is the answer to everything. But in Jesus' name, sometimes he gives us natural answers. Amen. Like with me, having a little mouthful of oatmeal every morning totally takes away that anxiety I felt every morning. Every morning I felt that anxiety. For years, couldn't figure out what it was. One day the Lord said, oatmeal. I went, what? You know? as soon as I ate some, boom. Now I've done it for years. If I don't do it, that's probably, you know, maybe I can be healed of that too. Yeah, but you know what? I'm believing God for that. But what's a little oatmeal? It's not some drug, right? Oatmeal is a natural thing that feeds my body. God bless you guys. Thank you. Bless them, Jesus. And help them to overcome all their pains, all their sorrows, all their heartaches. Show us, open up the whole counsel of God to them, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Like you're trying to teach all of us that stuff. We need it. Amen. All right, everybody. I guess that's my last caller tonight for the night. So nobody else has their hand up. It's 12:34. And I guess I'll call it a night. So, it for me.
Monday night. Welcome to Monday night. Monday night. Monday night. And they go fight. Fight right. We're going to fight. Fight right. Fight with the Holy Ghost. Fight with the whole counsel of God. Not just one little section of it. The whole counsel. God, open up to PGN the whole counsel of God. So we will not have people's blood on our hands. We're giving them wrong information because we didn't know the whole counsel of God. We only gave, oh, yeah, just say in the name of Jesus, be healed. Well, you know, quit eating so much salsa and you'll be healed. Jesus' name reveals all that stuff. Amen? Amen. All right. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.